We've got a session coming up that for some of you, I'm looking at some of you, is going to change everything. So say shh. Say it again. Say shh. Oh, that's beautiful. That's really nice. Okay, because I'm serious. Some of you, you have been waiting all weekend for this. Some of you have been waiting for 4 weeks for this moment. Some of you have been waiting for 3 months for this moment. Do not be late. Do not be slow. Do not be sleepy. This could change the game for you, your family, your business, your career, your future, everything. So, if you would please help me to welcome back to the stage at this time our coach, our mentor, the one and only Mrs. Dani Johnson.
Take that one more hug.
Thank you.
Where's Trish Kamira?
Trish? She's not in the room. She's here. Christine? Where's the Alexanders? Gina and Richard. Come on. Fine. No one's here. Who's I'm? Gina and Richard Alexander. Christine, I can't pronounce this last name because she's from Latvia. That would be you. You can give it to her. Well, Trish Kamira gave me something so sweet, like I screamed in my room when I saw it. All right, I am so excited to talk to you about this, because this altered my life big time, saved my life big time. Did you just take my small bottle? Well, give it to me. That's the one I'm supposed to finish first. All right. Hold the phone. Vodka. Not on your life, man. That's blah. Vodka and tequila. Blah. Tastes like kerosene. My body? It depends on how much, honey. Do some research. One glass of wine will save your heart. Say that to the French who drink a bottle a day and historically live longer than anybody else on the planet. Yep. So I'm not saying you should drink a bottle of wine a day, but they have two glasses of wine for lunch and two glasses for dinner, and it's not an alcoholic party thing. It's part of their health regime. So, and they're very thin and healthy people. So yeah, I get it. And apparently whiskey and tequila are also just one a day, apparently has all kinds of great health benefits for you. I do not encourage you to start a habit like this by any stretch of the imagination. That is not what I'm saying. But I have done my research. Yeah. And if you come from a family that has a hard time with those things, I'd stay far away from it. Yes. Okay. All right. I am really so excited about where we're going to go next and what we're going to talk about. The second requested topic for this weekend was about managing your time. So you've been waiting all weekend for this, for those of you who you feel like life is just out of control and you want to know how to manage it all, how to be able to get everything done, how to make more money with less time, how to manage the family life, the business career, all of that stuff, your health, like how do you get it all in? So I'm super excited about this. Many years ago, I was a giant mess. You know, I'm still a mess. I'm just not as big of a mess as I was all those years ago. You know, Mona was just reminding me of something behind there. This is where it is. You know, I used to hate talking to people. I did. And I used to hate talking in front of people. Everything that I do today, I hated when I started. And so I was just swallowing some nasty herbal echinacea stuff, and it makes my whole body go, ugh, like this, right? It's just like so disgusting. And Mona goes, you know, so do you like purposely just do things that you hate just to do them, or is it because you see the benefit of it later? And I said, yeah, no, I don't do it just to hate it. I put a lot of things in my mouth that are disgusting. I do. I mean, if it's healthy, I eat it. It's gross. But I know that there's a benefit to it. But I was looking back, especially any time that JP or Mike are at an event. Mike had come to, I think it was Long Beach a few years ago. Yeah, it was the first event that he had come to that we did. And then JP, every once in a while, when we're down here, he'll come in. And it just always brings me back. Really brings me back to who I was when I first started and how messy I was and how I sucked at everything. And shut up, I couldn't, whatever. I hated being on the phones. I hated talking to people. I sucked at all of that stuff. Once I got good at it, then watch the heck out. And I worked hard to get super, super good at it. And it took me a while to get good at it. But I trip on the fact that you can go from hating something and not being good at something to persisting at that thing and mastering it. And it not even, meaning it kind of bothers me. I don't even have to think about it anymore. You know what I mean? So, which is why I look for things that I'm not good at to do on purpose to put me back in that place of having to grow my confidence, having to challenge myself to get better at something, because it's really easy to be in a comfort zone and to just live life very apathetically. And that's a very scary place to be. That's when you're about to screw up really, really bad. And there's no vision in you. There's no purpose in you. There's no drive in you when everything around you is just completely easy. So I want to encourage many of you, because you just finished kind of designing your life. You know, you just finished writing down some things that you want to do. You started to get a little bit of a glimpse of a vision of what you want for the marriage life, the parenting side, the vision for your health, the vision for your career, your finances, and your spiritual life. Those are all really important things. And so some of those things can be a bit intimidating and thinking like, oh, am I ever going to be able to accomplish that? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And I'm about to show you how. Now, you heard the story of right after I made my first million, working part-time, by the way. The very first business I got started in, it owned me. It absolutely owned me. And the first 6 months, I had tremendous failure, couldn't make anything work. And then once I got into an environment where there was a strict system and consistent schedule, that changed everything for me. And that strict system and that consistent schedule, I went so all in with that. And it just so happens that the people I was working with, they worked like 18-hour days, 5-6 days a week. So that's what I learned. And that's kind of what was sold that it was going to take in order to succeed. And so I made good money. I made $50,000 in 6 months. And then I got married. Remember, I met a guy in this room, in this hotel, while I was engaged to JP. I was not only a terrible wife to Hans, but I was a terrible girlfriend also. So while I was engaged to JP, I went and I left and I married someone else 7 days later. I love telling you this stuff so you can see what a crappy person I was. That's harsh. You want to know how much harsher it gets? I called JP 2 weeks later and said, you need to move out because my husband and I are moving in. Did you ever forgive me for that? I think you did. Did I ever ask you to forgive me for that? Yeah. We have been together for 28 years. Like, we've seen some harsh, terrible things with each other. And so anyway, yeah, I did. That's what I did. Isn't that terrible? Sorry. It's so mean. So very mean-spirited. And he was a sweet guy. He really was. And I know I'd be dead today without JP in my life. No question. No question. Anyway, I meet a guy in the lobby, and I end up on the rooftop with him and then fly to Canada with him like tomorrow, the Monday after the event. I flew to Canada and married him and then told JP he had to leave, and my husband and I are moving in, just as cold-hearted as that. with no I'm sorry, nothing, just cold as ice. Yeah. So anyway, so then I ended up homeless shortly after that. Why? I deserved it. That's why. That's exactly what should have happened to me, as I should have ended up homeless. I should have ended up with $35,000 worth of debt. I should have ended up with $2.03 to my name. And I should have ended up raped and gang raped. And I should have ended up wanting to commit suicide after I did so many horrible things to so many people, JP being one of them. So I'm homeless. And I made a vow that once I started that next business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, that's when I said, I'm never returning to broke again. And fortunately, I have not. Not that broke at all. And then the second part was that that I would never allow a business to own me again. And so I decided I was only going to work part-time. And I didn't want my whole life all caught up in that business, because I slept that business. I ate that business. Everything in my life. I thought about it constantly. It was my absolute everything. And so when I lost that business, after I was embezzled from that business, it was like, I'm never, ever going to do that again. And I didn't. So I made my first million in 2 years working part-time. And I'm talking part-time. So I want to share with you kind of what my thing was about that. My priority was living life, not business, back then. And that's how I made my first million. So my skill set was high enough, and this is something really important you need to know, that what you lack in skill, you make up with time. Amen. What you lack in skill, you make up with time. So it takes you longer to get a result when you lack skill. So when you really focus in on improving your skill sets, it takes you less time to get the job done. It takes less time to get the same result. So when I worked, and it was working 10 hours a week, that's all I was working, was 10 hours a week. Those 10 hours a week was just razor sharp focused on getting customers, honestly. That's all it was getting customers in the very, very beginning. So I was reading scripts constantly, had flyers out, had an ad running. And so those 10 hours, bam, it was just 100% focus on getting sales. And that built a huge business very, very fast, making $250,000 that very first year. And then I made that first million, and then I got embezzled again. It was awesome. And that was my own stupidity on that one. I wasn't watching things the way that I should have. And it's part of my learning experience. It's part of my education, especially the tax stuff, especially that. And I also allowed myself to be talked into. It's so perfect. It's everything that we talked about this weekend. I allowed myself to get my feelings hurt. So now I'm going to leave the company. And I'm allowing my friends to influence me in ways that I probably shouldn't have. And I made a really bad decision. If I had to do all over again, I would not have made that decision. It was the most painful business thing I've ever done, which was to start my own company where I was manufacturing health and nutrition products. It almost killed me. So I end up with $1 million worth of product in a warehouse that I cannot move. I have a $50,000 a month overhead. I didn't want any of that. So now I'm not only full-time, I'm like 2 times full-time. Right? So, and here's what I'm thinking is like, oh my gosh, I have to fix this. This is all my responsibility. I have all these people whose families depend on me bringing in revenue into the company so payroll can be met. I was being choked, right? So right away, I go to work. Erica's like 2.5. No, I think we were married. This is 93. So Erica was born in 92, year and a half. Erica's about 1.5 old when I, because I was home the first 1.5. I had Jen living with us, but Jen just traveled with me, and I was doing first steps, 2 of them a month, 1 on the East Coast, 1 on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2 first steps a month. So every 2 weeks I was on the road, and Erica traveled with us as a baby, and that's all I did. So I was home. I did nothing besides be a mom, and then I would travel and do first steps for the weekend. And so anyway, and that was a great time, except for when everything got embezzled, and then staff is, everything's a mess, so I go and I become this person that I wasn't, and I worked 100 hours a week and 5 to 6 days a week, and I left before Erica was up, and I was gone until after she was in bed, and it was a terrible, horrible, horrific time of my life. And I did that for a couple of years. I'm so grateful that it was only a couple of years. That is such a blessing. I had a heart attack in 1994. And I had a nervous breakdown in 1995. So I was 24 and 25 when this happened. And that was my wake-up call. So 95, after I tried to kill myself and Hans saved my life, literally. Thank God my husband was a martial artist because he disarmed me. He literally disarmed me from a cleaver and a chef knife, pinned me down on the ground. Erica was 4 years old at the time. Cabe was about a year old at the time. So it was a very interesting set of events that brought me to that place and realizing that, what am I doing? I'm working my whole life. Every hour that I have available to work, I'm working, and I'm getting nowhere. All I could do was salvage the company. That was it. The company was barely alive. It was barely breathing. And honestly, it was JP again. It was JP again that God used. He's a musician, and he met a girl at a gig and started forming the girl, and the girl happened to work for a guy by the name of Rudy Rivak. And Rudy was a multimillionaire, 30-plus years in direct sales, very successful man. And, you know, he meets this girl, forms her. Hey, you should meet this guy. He's willing to meet with you. And he mentored me for about a year. He would meet with me once a month to help me salvage the company. And the things that he taught me helped me salvage the company to get it to a place where it was actually had any kind of value. And then he bought the company a year later, which was awesome. Yeah. So that's another thank you, JP. That was huge. That was a huge thing for me to not have two companies to run, but to just have the one. So here I am. I have a nervous breakdown. I can't think. When somebody asks me a question, I start crying. When it comes time to take a shower, I start crying. Try to figure out what I'm going to wear, I start crying. It's a full-on nervous breakdown, and this went on for months and months and months. I was totally non-functional. Going through counseling 2 hours every single week, I am completely non-functional and still very suicidal. So January 8th of 96, we sell the company. Hans was the one who actually worked out that deal because I couldn't think. He's the one who negotiated it and actually had to do everything to switch everything over, all the legal stuff, all the tax stuff. It was a huge thing, and Hans was 22, maybe? Hans is born in 72, so this was 96. Well, he was 22. Yeah, he was 22? 24, sorry, 24. Yeah, thanks. He was 24. It's okay. 24, 22, what's the big difference, honey? Right? What's the big difference, honey? Oh. That was his 19th birthday. That was Hans's 19th birthday. Yep. Don't laugh that hard. But here's what I'm going to say, and it's going to make perfect sense right now. You know what that says? Money makes you better looking. Money makes you better looking by far. I'm pregnant with Erica in that picture, by the way. Yeah, I was pregnant with Erica in that picture. I was wearing this big tent. I'm 180 pounds. It's a big tent of sparkles with my unibrow from one hairline to the other all the way across. It's amazing. Anyway, so yeah, Hans is 24, and he's having to learn about LLCs, C-Corps, all this tax stuff. Do you understand? All this accounting stuff, all this legal stuff. I mean, he did it, and he did it very, very, very well. Very impressive. Yes. I would scream about that too. I actually did scream about that all the time. By the way, all the while that this is happening, I'm mad at him. I'm blaming him. I'm accusing him. I'm terrible with him. It wasn't until later that I realized how awesome it was that he did what he did. At the time, I'm like, you're selling me out. You know, I was just questioning his motives. Why? Because of everything that was in me. There was nothing that Hans had done or said or anything. I was accusing him out of the wickedness and the wounds of my own heart. So we sell off that company, and that was the greatest thing that could ever happen to us. And I still get royalties to this day from that sale. That's 21 years later. There's still royalties from the products that we had developed all those years, and one that they're still carrying that they sell all over the world, which was crazy. And a blessing, a real blessing. And I learned a lot from this man. Both of us did. We learned a lot from Rudy. It was a great, great, huge blessing in our life. So his vice president clobbered me one day at Chili's restaurant while I'm eating some ribs. And he said to me that there's no way that I could close him on anything. There's no way. And I'm like, dude, trust me. If you're breathing, you're closable. I have a 90 to 100% closing ratio. It depends on which way the Rin is coming from. Trust me. You're a done freaking deal. If you have any brains in your head, you're a done deal for $4,000. And he's like, no, there's no way you could close me. I'm like, why do you say that? He goes, because you don't have anything I want. So what do you mean by that? He goes, it's obvious that you and Hans hate each other. You haven't had a vacation in years. You don't know your children. Somebody else must be married then because you're married to your business and you have no life. Your life sucks. Why in the world would I pay money to follow you? Like, I started bawling right there. It's like the prophet of God just came to me. His name was Elijah and just boom, nailed my butt, man. I was like, I felt so naked, but he was right. He was 100% right. Hans and I hate each other. Somebody else was raising our kids. We had not had a vacation in years. Our life sucked so bad. I couldn't argue with him. I'm like, how do you know that? It's like it's written all over you. It's all over you. You're pitching some great promise to a better future, but your life sucks. He knew nothing about us. Nothing. Nothing. It was the first time I ever had a conversation with a man. Wow. Had to be an angel sent from heaven with a bat. And I needed the bat, right? So anyways, oh my God, you're right. What do we do? He says, well, you two need to go and start dating again. I'm like, I ain't doing that. You two need to do a long weekend alone together once a quarter. Can I take my girlfriend Jerry instead? We will kill each other if we are alone anywhere together. There is no way this is going to work. No, you two alone, 3 days. And you need to go on a 2-week vacation once a year together. I will be in prison for murder if I follow your advice. Do you not understand me? And you need to hire someone to teach you how to manage your time. Just so happens the person I was counseling with knew how to do that. So I go in my next week for the 2-week counseling appointment, and I told her what happened, and she says, well, let's get started. And she taught me how she managed her time, and it changed everything. So I'm going to give you what I've been doing for 21 years. For the last 21 years, I have not worked more than 20 hours a week. For the last almost 3 years, I haven't even been working 5 hours a month. That is going to change. I'm gearing up to perhaps go back to 20 hours a week. And my team says, oh, crap. So this formula works beautifully if you work it. And you're in control of whether or not you work it. Now, this is what I've heard many times. I love, was it Roberta? Who's that beautiful widow? Where are you? Gina. Regina. Regina Johnson. Thompson. Regina Thompson. So sorry. Where are you, Regina? She just stepped out. She mastered time secrets. She's a widow with kids. Come on, a widow with kids trying to figure out how to mend her life, repair her children and herself from the devastation of losing their father, and make money. That's hard. But she said, I followed everything you've taught. She's tripled her income. She's financially independent, meaning debt-free. She's got her net worth up to $750,000. This is a widow. Her business has exploded. So when you follow directions, I'm going to tell you on the other side where people say, I'm still trying to master time secrets. Well, how well is that working for you? Still trying is failing. I'm going to show you something right now. I want you to grab a partner, please. Grab a partner. And I want the biggest, strongest guy in the room. I'll take my shoes off so they see how big you are. So good to see you again.
Thank you.
I had you on Stays for Gems.
Yes.
Last November.
Yes.
Your former military, now helping other military vets.
Not anymore.
You walked away from that. Now you're doing your own thing.
I was in prison with that, so I left, started my own business, well, a couple business between me and my wife, and 5 years, I will have my own nonprofit 20 to 25 unit complex for homeless veterans from homeless to executive or entrepreneur in a year.
That's awesome.
First steps, and then right before graduation,
dynasty. That's amazing. Good job. Okay, you have your partner. Okay, now watch. Just watch us first. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you. That's amazing. And you can do it.
I know.
You can do it. Okay, I want you to think of the person that you love more than anything in life. And I want you to put your fingers like this. Okay? And I'm going to try and pull those fingers, these two fingers, apart from you. Okay? I'm going to hold them like this. You do everything you can to keep them while you're saying, I love so-and-so.
I love Jenna. I love Jenna. I love Jenna. I love Jenna.
Okay. I think he loves her. Now I want you to say, I will try and love. I will try and love. Ready?
I will try and love Jenna. Ah! She breaks my finger.
Do you want to try again?
No. Aaron, I need an adjustment.
On my thumb? Okay. So do it again. So I love
Jenna. Jenna, 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 Jenna.
I will try.
Ah.
Okay, now I will give it my best.
I will give it my best.
To love. I will try.
Ah.
Because I'll give it my best. I couldn't pull it apart. I will try. I can pull it apart.
Words are powerful.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Has nothing to do with the truth. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It has nothing to do with the truth. The speech center is located in the very back of your brain right here, kind of at the base here. And scientists have proven, and neurologists have proven, that your entire reality is controlled by the speech. Nothing to do with the truth. So I want you to do this with your partner. I love, and I will try. So I love, they try to pull it apart, and I will try and love. What did you just learn? Try is a weak word. And the definition of try is an attempt to fail. The definition of try is an attempt to fail. So if you're going to try to do something, don't even get started. Don't even get started. But here's the facts. When you say, I will give it my best, that's a commitment. That's going all in. So this whole thing of even, I'm going to try and hit every event this year with you, Danny. I'm going to try to give you 5 years of my life. I'm going to try to do Time Secrets. I'm going to try to not gossip. I'm going to try to do War on Debt. I'm going to try to prospect better. I'm going to try. No, you're not. Quit lying to yourself and everyone else that is around you. Do what Yoda said. Do or do not. There is no try. There is no try. It doesn't even exist. But giving it your best shot is what's going to yield the results that you're looking for. So what I'm about to show you, you're going to want to come up with every single excuse there is known to man not to do it. You'll even try to use your sapphire or pearl excuse not to do it. Quit using your personality as a reason to fail.
and use your personality as a reason as to why you will set the example and you will succeed. And that you will chart the course for everybody else to follow. So the fact is that you're about to be handed a tool in your hand that I have used for 21 years that have made me tens of millions of dollars through the years working part-time. And it has to do with what we started with 2 days ago, which is the mind. The mind is so powerful. It's so powerful. And what it is that you focus on is what you get good at. What you focus on is also what you get more of. So whatever results it is that you want, that's going to be a direct result of what you're focusing on. So I want you to imagine there's a magnifying glass, right? You know what a magnifying glass is? How many of you used one when you were younger? Okay. So how many of you burnt an ant? Fire ants in Texas, man. I want to kill them all. They're horrifying. And in the Caribbean and down in Central America, they're wicked from hell, little demons. Anyway, so if you take a magnifying glass, okay, there's the sun that is outside right now, sort of, if you can get past the smog. There's the sun that's outside right now, right? And you take a magnifying glass and you put it on a bug or a leaf or a piece of paper, just simply a piece of paper. The sun by itself does not have the power to set the piece of paper on fire, does it? No, but it's only when it's focused through a lens. It's focused energy that now has the power to burn the piece of paper. And you are the same way, and your life is the same way. It's whatever it is that you focus on is where there's going to be production. And that's where you're going to have astronomical results in what you do. So it's all about where you put your time, where you put your focus. So let's go ahead and analyze your time. There's 168 hours in a week. 168 hours in a 7-day period. Let's say that you sleep 8 hours a day. How many of you do not sleep for 8 hours a day? How many of you sleep less than 8 hours a day? Wow. So let's say you sleep 8 hours a day. Okay, so I'm going to buffer up some time. So now you're down to 112 hours are left in 7-day period. Let's say that you work a 48-hour work week. Which is more than 40 hours. So if you labor for 48 hours, okay, so that's an extra 8 hours. So 48 minus that is 64 hours left. So this is sleeping, and most of this room does not sleep 8 hours a day. You sleep less than 8 hours a day. How many of you sleep more than 8 hours a day? Okay. There's like four people in the whole room. That's amazing. That's awesome. Whenever I want to sleep more than 8 hours, I don't. Yeah. Although on Saturday mornings, I can sleep for like 12 hours and not even know it, but generally. Anyway, so 8 hours of sleep, okay, 48 hours of work. Okay, so that could even include some of your commute time or whatever, all right? So you've got 12 hours of eating, okay, the time to eat. But how many of you eat and work at the same time? Okay, so if you have 12 hours per week for eating, we're down to 52 hours in a week. 52 hours per week left of conscious, active time to devote wherever it is that you want it to go. We've got your laboring time out, sleeping time, eating time. That's 52 hours left. What are you doing with your time? Shut your mouth. So if it's an hour-long shower, that's 7 hours minus 52. You still have how many hours? 45 freaking hours. What are you doing with those hours? Okay, so look, let's say that you volunteer a tithe of those 52 hours. So that's 5 hours a week of volunteering. That leaves us with 47. That leaves you with 47 hours. That's with 5 hours of volunteering at your church or at a charity or whatever. Okay, so we have 47 hours there. Yeah, you have at least 47 hours of free time. Honestly, you have 52 hours of free time because to me, volunteering is free time hours. It is. Volunteering is part of your free time. So you have 52 hours, and by the way, almost this whole room says that they don't sleep for 8 hours a day. Almost this whole room said that they eat while they're working. So you don't take 12 hours a week to eat. So the question is, what are you doing with 52 whole hours a week? Okay, are you not exercising for 52 hours a week? How many of you exercise 30 minutes three times a day? Three times a week. 30 minutes three times a week. How many of you work out 1 hour a day? Okay, so if you're working out 1 hour a day, you're still down to 47 hours. That's a lot of hours. So remember what Hans said yesterday, the guy that makes $50,000 a year versus the guy that makes $500,000 a year, what's the difference? They both have 24 hours in a day. It's what they're doing with those hours every single day. So you have, how many of you just learned, you have a lot of time. Amen. You have a lot of time. You have 52 extra hours a week to do whatever the heck it is that you want. How many of you do not work more than 40 hours a week? So that means you have 52 plus, that's 60 hours a week. Those of you that don't work more than 40 hours a week, you have 60 hours a week to do whatever the heck it is that you want. That's a lot of freaking time. It's more than a full-time job. That's a whole nother full-time job. Okay? So, that one right there shatters your whole thing of I don't have enough time. You have plenty of time to do what you want to do. Now what it's about is this. Okay, yesterday Hans told the story. He's so awesome. I'm sorry. I am talking about him way too much. It's been such a good weekend having him here. It really has. It has. And I've slept so well. Neither one of us sleep when we're not in the same bed together. We just don't sleep. It's terrible. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to beg him. Can you just come so I can sleep? Okay. So if we have 52 hours extra to 60 hours extra every single week to do, and if that's if you're eating. Okay, remember yesterday he's telling the story about me, my first experience in a casino? This was my first and last experience in a casino, right? Okay, you have to understand, is everything I taught you at First Steps is how I won. It was $9,000. It's everything I taught you at First Steps, okay? One, find an expert who knows what they're doing and copy them. Right? So I'm actually forming, I'm there with a company and I'm interviewing these guys to see if I'm going to have a long-term business relationship with them. So they say, hey, you want to come out with us? Sure. What are you guys going to do? We're going gambling. All right. I'll sit and watch. Cool. So I'm forming them. I'm wanting to get to know them. I'm wanting to see them behind the scenes. They put out $200 for the chips. I said, I don't know anything about playing anything like this. I mean, I play cards at home with my kids, but I don't know how to do this. No, we're buying you in. I'm like, okay, well, I lost $200 really fast. So then we're buying you in again. If you just lose $200 every half an hour, we're fine with that. We want you to play. I'm like, gosh, all right, fine. So then, all right, step number two, learn from an expert. So I'm forming them. I learn from the expert. Okay, tell me how do I do this? Tell me how to do this. They were up $5,000 and $10,000, both of them. They knew what they were doing, right? It's the president and vice president. So I'm forming them. I'm like, okay, tell me what do I do? Okay, do you want me to do this? Yes. Okay, hour and a half, I got $9,000. How? I took all the money off the table. I took every win off the table. I left $500 on the table, and that was it. When the $500 was gone, I was gone. Turned the chips in, collected the $9,000, came home, and bought a Jeep for Hans. I did. I bought a Jeep for Hans. You remember the black Jeep, Erica? It was the black Jeep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? That was extra, non-discretionary money. That was like money I didn't need to make. It wasn't money that we needed. It wasn't money that I was trying to make. And I didn't even put a dime in to make it. So that was other people's money, other people's knowledge, right? Other people's money, other people's knowledge is how I made the $9,000. But the key was taking the money off the table. You have to do the same with time. You have to take time off the table. Okay? And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Because money and time are very, very similar. Very, very similar. They are always looking for a place to go, And there's always somebody calling for it. There's always somebody calling for your money, and there's always someone calling for your time. Okay? So time is a commodity. It's the most priceless commodity. It's more important than money. Money is being printed. Time is not. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can never recuperate it. Money you can recuperate, but time you cannot. So I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to show you how to take time off the table. When you allot it and you have it focused for certain things, you take it off the table. Now it is being much more productive. So I'm going to tell you, it's a spiritual story. Hold your chonies. Don't get them caught up in a wad. But here's what happened. Here's what happened. So I'm home. I'm crying out to my God. I'm a mess. I am such a mess. And this is what he showed me. First of all, I was trying to do everything I could to change Hans. It was all Hans's fault why we lost the business. It had nothing to do with Hans. It was Hans's fault why I was feeling the way I was. It had nothing to do with Hans. Nothing had anything to do with Hans. And so I was asking God to change him. And he said, let's start with you. Let's start with you. Okay? And he told me that if you can be faithful with Hans and the kids and what I've trusted you with, then I will multiply your time. I will multiply your time. That was the very first teaching I ever had with be faithful with the little things. That's when that teaching began. That's all the way back in 1995. Be faithful with what I've given you. Be trusted with Hans and the kids and your home, and I will multiply your time. The coolest thing about business, not the coolest thing, but one of the many coolest things about business is that time can be multiplied in business again and again and again. And how do you multiply time in business? You multiply time through the efforts of other people and through machinery, technology. That's how you multiply your time in business, is that it's the efforts and the skills of other people and incorporating their time, them investing their time into what you're doing, as well as technology. And that's an investment of money into technology that helps to save you time. Does that make sense? Okay, so if you can be faithful with the things that you've been given, the highest priorities in your life, which is your family, if you can be faithful with that, then your time can be multiplied. But it's important to take the time off the table. So what does that look like? Number one, you've got to prioritize your time. You got to figure out what your priorities are. At First Steps to Success, I asked you questions, and I said to you, some things are more important than money. Some things are more important than money. You see, in creating wealth, what we have learned is that when you chase money, it runs from you. When you chase money, it runs from you. But when you don't chase it, and you simply use skill set with excellence and diligence, it starts to chase you. It starts to run after you. It always runs faster than you do. And it seems to be a very elusive thing. But when you keep your priorities straight, things begin to click and you no longer have this crazy, deep, greedy desire for more, more, more. Therefore, you're walking in peace and contentment, and now you become a vessel that can receive more. You actually have room for more. So let's talk about priorities. Because this is one of the first things that I had to establish. And honestly, it's been a 21-year long journey of really learning about priorities. So here's how I adjusted my priorities. My priorities went from money, work, money, work, work, money, money, work, money, work, money, work. Kids, Hans. Hans was my last priority. And he was also my biggest, most stressful relationship. If you look at the fruit in your life, the fruit will tell you what your priorities are. The fruit will tell you what your priorities are. So if you look at the three biggest stressors in your life, it kind of shows you where there are some priorities that are lacking. Now, priorities are not just assigned an allotment of time, but it is also an allotment of your heart and mind. Because all of us have been in that place where our children might be talking to us and we are not hearing them. How many of you have been there, right? They're talking to you, mom, 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 and they get to a place where Erica just cringes, mommy, yeah. Right?
And do you know why they get to that octave? Because you've trained them that that's what it takes to get your attention. You've trained them that they have to ask for you 25 times and they have to raise their voice again and again and again before you actually hear them. And why? Because your mind is thinking about something else. Okay? So we all know how to have a conversation with someone and not be there. How many of you have ever done that? We know how to have a conversation, but there's a whole other conversation inside of the back of our heads where something else is going on. We're making plans. We're dreaming. We're talking about something else. We're reminding ourselves of a conversation that we have with someone, even though we're talking to someone. What did you say? And then they say to you, nuh-uh, remember I told you. You didn't tell me anything. No, remember we're sitting at a kitchen table and we made an appointment for X, Y, and Z. Remember we talked about we're going to use blue instead of red. Don't you remember? No, I wasn't in that car. I don't know what you're talking about. No, you did not tell me that so-and-so was coming to town. No, we did. We sat down. This is where we're eating for dinner. This is what. How many of you done this? How many of you been on the other side of that conversation? Been on the other side of that conversation. And it's because you had a different conversation going on in your head. You were not present while you were there. Right? So the key to creating wealth on a part-time basis and the key to harmony and peace in the home is being present at the task that is at hand. It's being present fully, mind, body, soul, spirit, being all there in that moment. Okay, what am I really saying? It's the magnifying glass. Focus. It's the magnifying glass. That's the focus, being totally present right then and there. So here's what happened. Initially, when I first started to learn how to manage my time and to figure out what my priorities were, in the very beginning, I had a really, really hard time, especially my very first week, being home with Cabe, who was like 6 months old at this time, and Erica, who's a toddler, okay? They want to sit and roll around and wrestle on the floor, or read books, or all this stuff, and my head was like, all business, and I'm trying to read, and George climbed up on top of the counter. Who has done this? Okay, cool. All right, so what happened is it took me a little while before my mind would slow down to the pace that my children needed my mind to be at. It took a little while. There was a transition period before that happened, okay? The other part was that when I got into the groove of just going all in with my two babies, and then when I was at my office, I'm all in for that, I found that I no longer was guilty when I was at the office wishing I was home with the kids, because that part was focused and filled. Fulfillment happened the day before when I had that full day as nothing but a mother and a wife and a homemaker. Okay, so the days then when I was with my kids, I wasn't going, the accounting thing, we got to get that program finished, and I wonder how much is in the warehouse and how many orders came in today. I shut that part of my brain off completely, and I was fully present, 100%, being the mom that I always wanted to be. Do you understand that all I ever wanted to be was a mom? That's it. I never wanted to be a millionaire. I never wanted to be a businesswoman. I never wanted to be anything besides a mom. That's it. And I was running from the highest calling in my life. Two reasons. One, fear of failing and becoming my own mother. The only training I had was what I had in the home. And two, I found accomplishing and making money to be more rewarding. Only because my fear of screwing up as a mother kept me from being a mother. Wow. So I was becoming my mother. I was neglecting my kids for those 2 years. I neglected them. So even though my mom was present all the time, someone who's addicted to drugs is not present. Does that make sense? So there was major neglect because of the lifestyle choice. So here I was doing the same thing, but guess what my drug was? Work. My drug was work. My drug was money.
So once I got into the groove, and it took a little bit, once I got in the groove, now I'm home full time with my kids, and I'm totally focused on Hans. I'm doing the laundry. I'm getting the house done. By the time that day ended, guess what I could not wait to do? I couldn't wait for the next day to put a business suit on and go talk to human tall people and close deals and present some business, you know what I mean? Crunch out some numbers, build some fires, leverage some things. So I couldn't wait to go do that once I was totally clean, right? Like I had that full-time mommy day. I felt good, solid, focused time as a businesswoman. By the time that day was all done, I couldn't wait for the next day to just go 100% to be with my kids. Does that make sense? So that's the magnifying glass. It's all about focus. So how many of you have felt guilty when you've worked business, you feel like you're supposed to be home, and when you're home, you're thinking about business? How many of you have done this? Okay. So the key to creating wealth is focusing and being all present in the place that you're at. The whole task that is at hand. Some of you have done this too, even with prospecting or trying to create business deals, that you could be talking to a prospect or an employee or a coworker, and you're thinking about a different task that you got to do. Yes. How many of you have done this? Like you have a whole other task that's inside of your head, which means you're not present, you're not there, you're missing the obvious solution that is presented right there in front of you. You're missing what their gem is. You're missing their sign. You're missing, do you understand? You're missing what actually motivates them. You're missing to find the actual need that you can fill. Why? Because you're thinking about this other thing over here. So again, the key is to be all present in the task that you're in. And you'll get the task done faster and easier. And guess what else? You will not create more problems. Because it's when we are not all there that we create problems. People can feel it when you're not there. How many of you can feel it when someone else is not there? Their mind is not with you. You can feel that. So that creates problems that then you have to go fix. Write this down. People problems take time to solve. So some of you, you're creating problems 57 hours a week that have to be solved. Problem creator, problem solver. So being present and being all there, and this is what I found. This is how come my numbers got so fat. How did my numbers get so fat of recruiting a crazy amount of people in such a short period of time? How in the world did I recruit so many customers, so much business, doing so much volume, so much sales, like crazy on 20 hours a week? So watch. So I was working 100 hours a week, right? I cut my hours down to 20. So in those 20 hours, man, I had to be all in, all there. I tripled my income working less. Why? Magnifying glass. Magnifying glass. Total focus, time, and effort on that task that was at hand. So that meant I was wasting 80 hours a week. I was wasting 80 hours a week on things that did not need to be done, things that didn't need to be thought about, things that did not need to be planned. When you cut your hours back, you have to get the highest priorities done. The highest priorities present themselves when you shrink back your time to be able to get it done. And that's where efficiency is, which is really exciting and fun and awesome. All right? So let's talk about those priorities, how to do it. This is what mine were. You can make yours whatever you want to be. It's up to you. But just know that whatever you establish your priorities to be, there will be a result. Does that make sense? Whatever the priorities are, there is a result. Fruit is going to come from your established priorities. So work had to come off of my priority list of the top. That had to like get moved to a totally different place. So God became my first priority. And mind you, that I'm going to church, I'm praying 2 hours a day, I'm reading my Bible. If you would have asked me if God was my first priority, I would have said yes. But guess what proved that he was not my first priority? The fruit in my life, totally dishonoring my husband, totally disrespecting him, disrespecting our home, and abandoning my post as a mother. That was the proof that he was not my first priority. He being your first priority is an indicator of how you live your life. It's how you live your life. It's not what you show up to. It's not going to church. It's not going to Bible studies or even teach any of those. No. It has everything to do is, are your priorities and his aligned? And his priority, his number one priority is family.
His priority is family. You first, your wife or kids, wife or husband, and those kids, that home being whole, that home being right, that home being loving. That's a high priority. So he was nowhere near my priority list. He was more of on my checklist. Check. Read my Bible. I prayed. Yep. I did that. I'm a good Christian. I was a bad one. I was a total Pharisee. That's what a Pharisee is. I'm keeping the laws. Got my ticket into heaven. But the fact was, my life was a mess. And who was creating the mess? Me. I was in charge of my mess. 100% in charge of my mess. Okay, so second needed to be my spouse, Hans. Third was the kids. After that was work. Now, there's subcategories within this, okay? This is what I've learned along the way as Time Secrets has evolved through the years and through lessons that I've learned. So each one of these have subcategories, okay? So this was the basics. So under the God priority, I'm supposed to love him and love myself. So that meant that myself needed to be a priority. At the time, it wasn't. When you're working 100 hours a week and you're not eating well, that's how you end up with a heart attack and a nervous breakdown. And I was in the health and nutrition business. Wait, weight loss. Hypocrite on all sides. Hypocrite in every possible way, okay? So I wasn't taking care of myself. My mental health, my emotional health was totally whacked. I was abusing myself and abusing myself with work. Okay, spouse, the marriage is the highest priority. And the marriage is its own separate entity. It's its own separate box. And both parties have to do what's best for the marriage. Which, by the way, how many of you before have told us that you would love for us to do a marriage event? Okay. This September is going to be First Steps to a Hot Marriage. Just made the commitment to you publicly. This September will be First Steps to a Hot Marriage. Okay? It's going to be limited. It's not going to be a big, huge thing. We're going to be recording that to start building out the whole marriage training series that we're going to be doing. Okay, and then quite possibly in December is going to be a marriage intensive retreat that's going to be very small, and perhaps in Puerto Rico is where we'll do it, where we're going to limit it to a very small group of people. So that's going to be like a First Steps Dynasty kind of thing. Only Dynasty qualified people can go to the one in December. We'll make the First Steps to a Hot Marriage open to the general public, and that First Steps to a Hot Marriage qualifies people to go to Dynasty. So it's basically First Steps to Success, only about marriage. Does that make sense? So 100% of the content. So Forum is going to be about marriage. The Saturday morning is all about marriage. Do you understand? Gems is totally geared towards marriage. War on Debt geared towards marriage. 100% of all the content from First Steps is totally customized just for marriage. That's... Who here is single and doesn't want to be? Okay. Stand up. Okay. So, yeah, I know, you're married. So, and it's 18 years old and over only, because this is not going to be G-rated. This is not G-rated, so the kids are not going to come to First Steps to a Hot Marriage. Viewer discretion advised, for sure. Okay. The one in December is going to be very, very, very intense, where we'll be dealing with some very, very, very intense things. But again, it's First Steps to a Hot Marriage. So everything that you've gone through, First Steps, but it's just 100% geared towards marriage. So we're not going to be, and when we talk about business, we're going to talk about business as it pertains to marriage.
Do you know what I'm saying? The impact that it has on the marriage, how to solve those problems, all that stuff. So when and where? It is in September in Dallas, Texas. Yep. And I can get the dates to you. Where do you sign up? I don't think it's September 21st. It's September. Is it the 14th? Where's 15th? 15th through the 17th is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. So we're doing it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Okay. So freaky. I've been dragging my feet like crazy, man. Dragging my feet. Dragging my feet. I'm so grateful for you because you literally hold me accountable. You seriously do. You're my biggest accountability people. All right, so marriage. And again, we don't have a perfect marriage, so it's going to be about solving problems in an imperfect marriage. Okay, that's what this is about. Hans and I do not have a perfect marriage. We've been through everything a marriage could ever go through. We have been through it. In sicknesses and health, in poverty. Okay, deep, deep hurts that we've hurt each other with. Okay, abuse. Like terrible, terrible things that both of us have been through, what we brought into the marriage, what happened in the marriage, and where we are. So I must be down for the count so many times and stronger than ever today. Stronger than ever and healthier than ever today, which is exciting. So anyway, so there you go. We're committed. We're doing it. We're signing the contract. It's a done deal. September 15th through the 17th. Done deal. Okay, so back to this. And the one in December I'm excited about too, in Puerto Rico. You don't need a passport to go to Puerto Rico. The prices are exactly the same for hotel, food, transportation, everything. So it's like flying to LA. It's actually cheaper to fly to Puerto Rico than it is to fly to LA. You get tickets for a couple hundred dollars almost from everywhere in the country down to Puerto Rico. Super cheap place. Meaning cheap, not cheap like you would expect a Hispanic country to be. That part makes me mad. But it's the same as a U.S. city. So great place too. So my encouragement for the December one is you stay a few extra days and go hiking, zip lining, surfing, playing around, diving, all that kind of stuff together, not with a bunch of other couples. By yourselves. That'll be December. I think it's December 12th. It's December 12th or something like that. Yeah. So there'll be those two. Yeah. And then in 2018, we just may do a Grooming the Next Generation for Success full weekend family event where the kids and the parents will be involved. We're looking into that. I'm looking at doing a prospecting closure way to millions also that we would do for the people from a home-based business. I'm coming back to work is what I'm saying. I'm coming back to work. So, yeah, I'm coming back to work. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You're going to make me cry. Okay. Yeah. I'm committing to that. Okay. I'm going to open up my schedule, do some coaching. I'll open my schedule, do some webinars. You know why? Guess what I found out about myself? I have too much freaking time on my hands. I'm just looking at myself, looking at my heart. And the stuff I'm wrestling with is simply because I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. I had a 2-year rest. I had 2 sabbatical years. And then I came out of it and I'm still doing nothing. And it's really affecting me. It's really affecting me. Like it, when you're non-productive, it's very unhealthy. Very, very unhealthy. So I got lots of time with my kids and grandkids. Lots of time. What year am I doing prospecting closure in millions? You're trying to figure out when I'm going to do it? If it's 2017 or 2018, you got momentum on this. So you're saying we should have it in 2017? We'll have to. Okay, well, I will have to see because I have this whole TV thing that's in the midst of. If you're 18, yeah. No, I'm looking at 2018 to putting in a prospecting closure in millions. First half. Yeah, first half. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anyway, back to this. Because you got the news first. This is not a hot flash. This is called I made a commitment. Uh, I'm really sweating. Seriously, my whole body is soaked right now. Glistening. All right. So I'm not kidding you. When you are not productive, you'll take yourself to dark places. Yes. Your mind will go to dark places when you're not productive. And this is the first time in my life that I don't have a lot to do. It's the first time in my life. What? My business is so efficient. It's so efficient. Everything that we're doing with raising money for Nicaragua, everything is too easy. Everything's too efficient. So I'm good at that. Efficiency is a gift, man, hardcore, that I have. Efficiency of time. So in this case, now it's working against me. Because now I don't have anything to do. Come on, $5.2 million has been raised in 2.5 years without me trying. I'm serious, without me trying. It's been a lot of prayer and teamwork. Okay, you know, millions of dollars every year that comes through our accounts for Destiny Global. Again, all the profits go straight to taking care of the poor, which we have 39 different organizations that we're supporting. 10,000 orphans we're feeding every single month. All the elderly, all these things that we're doing, it doesn't take any time from me. So everything's super efficient. Why? This right here has helped me to be super efficient. Now I have too much freaking time. So let's go to freaking work. And we got to make something happen. Yeah, so now it's like, all right, I have a pretty clear schedule. I mean, I think I'm going to drive my grandkids crazy. I'm going to drive my kids crazy. I'm around too much. I am. So what am I doing? I'm gallivanting all over the world, traveling, seeing the world. That's great. However, comma. I'm like, no, I got to do something. I got the itch. We're going. All right, so here's the priorities. So anyway, each one of these having a subcategory. So marriage, that's how we got in the thing of September 15th, 16th, and 17th, first steps to a hot marriage. All your friends, family members, they can all come to that. That's not a qualified event. December, you have to be a Dynasty grad in order to go. I'm so excited and scared to death. Scared to death. That means I have to start writing again. I haven't done that in a really long time. Anyway, so then the kids, the time with the kids. So remember I said you got to take the time off the table? So now here's where it goes to your highlighters. In the email, we told you to bring highlighters. And then, guys, can we pass out the calendars, please? Yes, ma'am. Oh, my gosh, I'm so hot. Oh, I'm really? Really? Jackie, I want to hear more about that. Okay. This will help me be more efficient with my kids and my grandkids, too.
Me too, Danny. It's the right time.
Huh? What does that mean? Highlighters for Bibles? Is it just a highlighter? It's just a highlighter. You just need a highlighter. Oh, baby girl, thank you. By the way, you are stunning. You are absolutely stunning. Do you have any idea how gorgeous your face is?
Thank you.
I'm serious. Come here. You are so beautiful. It has been fun watching you grow. How's your brother?
Good.
Good? Awesome. I'm really sorry, you guys, but in fact, these shoes are coming off because I have filled them with a puddle of sweat. Yeah, no. Did you like them? When I got them, I thought of you. I said it to Christina. They were $30. $30. I said to Christina, I go, Linda Potgieter is going to flip her lid when she sees these shoes. Sorry, I know this is so unprofessional and it looks really, really bad, but my ankles are soaking wet right now. Okay. Okay. This is what commitment looks like. All right. So what you do is now what you're going to do is you assign a color to each category. And what I did, and this is really important. Okay, let me go to this basic. You need a calendar. You need like a day planner type of a thing. That's important. And so for some of us, it's really important to have it physically, to have a physical one. So most of our calendars that are on our phones and in our computers, For me, I have found that it doesn't have the same effect at all as to having it physically. Yeah, you just don't use it very much for some of us. But having a day planner is a really important thing, and living your life on that. Because again, this is about taking time off the table and assigning the time with a purpose. Okay? It's assigning the time with a purpose. So for my God time, I used a blue highlighter, and basically I set appointments for my time with God. Okay? So that was blue. My time with Hans as a spouse was pink. My time with my kids was wild orange. And my time at work in the United States, green represents money. So those, I had these different highlighter colors for each one of these categories, all right? Now, the goals that you set, that you wrote out this morning, and then you wrote a number next to each one of them to assign a year, you know, 20. Those goals, now what we do is we take the goals and we make appointments with them. So remember when it came to talking to this beautiful 64-year-old woman about surfing, and I said, set the appointment now. Don't wait, set the appointment now. Even if the appointment gets changed, at least there's an appointment set. Action has to follow decision, or there is no decision. If there's not an action following a decision, it means that you did not make a decision. Okay? Action has to follow decision, or there was no decision. And action is what brings the success. Action brings results. Okay? Thinking doesn't bring results. Doing is what brings results. So in the case with this beautiful woman booking her appointment to go surfing, right, she actually did. You went and called somebody and inquired about, right away. It's about taking that action. So if surfing is the idea, now it's about take the idea out of my head, put it on paper, take the idea out of my heart, put it on paper, it's Habakkuk, write it down and make it plain. Okay, write it down and make it plain. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So now if I make it specific, now it's becoming dynamic. I'm now going to give life to it because I've taken it out of here and here and I've put it down here. So now I take it from this piece of paper and now I make an appointment to start taking the steps to make it come to pass. Okay? So now it's just an action plan. That's all it is. It's an action plan. So it's a very simple thing. And now it takes the emotion out of the concept, the dream, the idea, and now it's just a task like going to the grocery store, a task like making your own bed, a task like getting the oil changed in the car. Does that make sense? So now there's no emotion. There's no, it's not even, do I need confidence to go surfing? It's now book my flight. Where do I want to learn how to surf? I want warm water. I'm going to Hawaii. Just task after task after task after task, and you get it done. And it's amazing. So what if you come to a place where you're like, but I don't know how to do part of it. So then what's your next task? If you don't know how to do something, what's the next task? You either learn the skill or you recruit someone else that knows how to do it. So again, so that's a problem that's solved. You take the emotion out of the problem and there's a task list, okay? I don't know how. I don't know how to build websites. I'm not going to learn how to build websites. That's like stick a nail in my pupil. Stick a nail in my pupil with a sledgehammer. Seriously. So I know better. I know myself. Why in the world would I spend it? First of all, it would take me 5 years to learn how to do that. And by then, whatever I learned was obsolete. But there are other people that's all they love and that's all they care about. So it's about recruit someone else that is good at that. And my husband will tell you that is what I'm good at, is recruiting other people who are better than me at everything. That's it. Recruit other people who are better than me at everything. If you don't care who gets the credit, you will be unusually successful. If you don't care who gets the credit, you'll be unusually successful. And Rubies, listen to me. As much as you think you can do it all, my question is, why the hell would you want to? What's the point in that? Come on, answer the question. What's the point of doing it all? It's to say that you did. It's to say, I did it all by myself, which is straight up ego. It's straight up ego. I didn't need any help. I did it on my own. Ego versus bank account. You don't want to do it all. If you try to do it all, you waste time, number one, and you're not even doing the things that are actually the best and most use of your time. It's not the most purpose part of your time. So learning to delegate and assign other people to a task that can get it done proficiently and or better is always awesome. That's always awesome. Because again, remember I said, okay, the guy who makes $50,000 a year versus the one that makes $500,000. What's the difference? How they spend their time. So I guarantee you the one making $500,000 a year has a whole lot of other people in place getting things done. Why? He has incorporated the time, talent, skill, effort of another person. So how you get from 50,000 to 500,000 is by multiplying your time through the efforts of other people. Mr. Alaska, did you hear me? Yes and no. Here's another thing. You have two choices. Either you can recruit talented people to take over some of the tasks that you're doing, okay? Or you can change your prices. Charge more so less people are coming, but you're making more for your time. Does that make sense? So those are two options. Either you staff up to handle the amount of growth. First of all, you have to establish how much growth you want to have, right? That's the decision you have to make, is what amount of growth am I comfortable with? Because guess what? Just because something wants to grow for right now doesn't mean that that's necessarily what you want. So it's about living it on your design. Just because it's growing doesn't mean that's necessarily what you want. Hans and I put in measures in the very beginning of our company to slow it down because we wanted things set up so that we didn't implode. We had done that before. So my second business that I started actually a month after Erica was born, and again, part-time, I was not working, started another company. In 11 months, we did $500,000. In 11 months. Me, part-time. Why? I recruited very smart, talented people who are better than me that could execute the entire thing. I didn't know how to do any of it, but generated $500,000 in revenue in 11 freaking months. Right out the gate, starting a nutrition company. How many of you'd like to fail like that? Yeah. Okay, well, I did fail. I ended up imploding on myself. I know, and Hans and I have done that several times. We know how to grow sales. That's like second nature, okay? But whether or not we could handle the growth was a whole nother story, right? So, all right. Where was I talking about? Recruiting other people. Getting other people. Delegating. Okay, having other people use their time and effort and talent. And that's a win-win situation, by the way. That's a total win-win, all right? So I'm not going to waste my time with a nail through my pupil with a sledgehammer learning something that is no thank you. I'm a very slow learner, first of all. I'm not a fast learner. I'm a slow learner. And I have to learn by being shown. I'm a visual and kinesthetic learner. I have to touch it. I have to see it. Or I don't get it. You tell me what to do, I'm like, huh? What? Can you slow down? Can you just show me? You show me, I get it. You tell me, I don't understand a freaking thing you're saying at all, okay? All right, so back to this. So with the list that you have, how many of you wrote down some spiritual goals? Okay, awesome. So it's going to take time to achieve some of those spiritual goals. So that's your blue pen. And it's now, again, take time off the table, okay? You take time off the table. We have 57 plus hours per week to get done what you want to get done outside of work, all right? So I made appointments for me and God, okay? This was my time alone with him, and pretty much most of my study had to do with everything with what was going nasty in my heart. I was searching out healing. wholeness, leadership, marriage, all of those things were the stuff that I was focused on because those are things that I was the most weak in. And I needed to fix these issues that I had in my heart. And I really wanted to get to know who he was because I had such low self-esteem and I didn't know who I was because I didn't know who he was. Okay, so what did that look like? Well, every morning, first thing, I flopped out of bed, still do this day. I mean, like the rest of you do. Flopped out of bed, and I had the first 2 hours, first thing in the morning, me alone with God. Now, that's me, okay? Why? Because I'm weak. That's why. Because I'm weak. Because I'm a weak suck in every area that if I don't have that time of filling myself up with him, with wisdom every day out of that book, I screw up so very badly. So that's what I know that Danny Johnson needs. You might not be as jacked up as me. You may be like awesome and things be easy and your character for you and you love everybody and you know, you know what I'm saying? I'm just not that person. So I need some extra help. So that book is my help. My time in prayer is my help. I wrestled with anxiety, being anxious all the time, worried all the time, fearful all the time. So I needed an extra portion of faith being poured into me because I'm so weak. So I just haven't stopped doing that. That's just kind of been a practice that I've done for actually more than 21 years. So here was that first appointment, first thing in the morning. So when you have your calendar, you have, you know, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., whatever. So I'm not a 6 a.m. person. I'm not a super early riser unless I come back from Europe. Then I love it. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning. But generally, it's like 7, 7:30. I'm not a super early bird person. Sometimes 8 o'clock. So from that time, so for 7 a.m., you know, when Erica was a baby, and so I started doing this in 1993, actually. 93 is when I started 5:30 to 7:30 every morning, actually. And why? Because she was up. So all my kids were early risers, so that forced me as a mother to have to get up at the time that they did. So I'd start praying at 5:30 in the morning when I first started committing my life back to God to get up and pray. And then 5:30 to 7:30, she'd wake up at 6:30. I just brought her in the toilet room with me, sat her on the floor with me, and she just prayed with me. She learned how to pray really, really young. And I loved that. That was a very special time. And then when I gave birth to Cabe, I had two babies in this toilet room with me on the floor. Toilet room? You know, it's a room that has a toilet? Well, like there's a bathroom that has the sinks and the tub, and then there's another room that has the toilet that has a door on it. You don't have those in Georgia? No. They're not outhouses. No, maybe it's a California, Texas thing, but there's a separate room with the door on it that just has the toilet in it. Great question. Chrissy says, do you sit on the toilet for 2 hours? Well, that will give you hemorrhoids. Generally not a good idea. I'm gonna bite my tongue right there right now. No, I don't sit on the toilet for 2 hours. but I am in that room for 2 hours. Yeah. That's part of my prayer closet. That and my closet where my clothes are is my prayer closet. Yeah. So it depends on where I'm not going to be interrupted. And where there's a lock on the door. So that's the toilet room. So, and my kids will tell you, I mean, they know, so mom's praying again. Like, they do. That's the life that they were raised in. They know, door's locked, she's praying, leave her alone. What are you going to say? Exactly. Yeah. What is she doing? My sister and I went to Malibu a month ago, and we had 2 days together in a house on the beach, and I was in the bathroom for 2 hours, first thing in the morning. And she's like, what are you doing? Is everything okay? No, it's perfect. Everything is perfect. Yeah. It's what I do, what? That's where I deal with all my crap, is in the bathroom. Exactly. That is where I deal with all my crap. Not rated. All right. It really is. And by the way, and that's where I follow the fruit to the root. Everything that you learned on Friday night, right? Where I'm asking myself, I've got feelings going on inside of here, and I ask myself, why do I feel that way? Why do I feel that way? Where is that coming from? What is that all about? When was the first time I felt that way? Sometimes I kind of like, no, I've already dealt with that issue. Oh, nice try, you pig, lying, cheating chihuahua, hairless, ugly chihuahua. Get out of here, pig. Go bark at someone else. Anyway, so no, that's literally where it says, search my heart, oh God. Try all of my ways. Search within me. If there's any wickedness in me, show it to me because I don't want to carry it through to this day. I don't want anyone to pay for my wickedness. And I don't want to screw something up either. Anyway, so that's my time in the morning to deal with my crap in the bathroom with the toilet room with the door locked. There you go. It's real. Yeah, it is. I am definitely boldly before the throne. Anyway. Okay, I want all the sapphires to hold your puns. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Again, you can copy what I'm doing if you want, but or you can take that calendar that we just passed out to you and you start putting it in. Okay, now here's what happens. That most people only have business work appointments on their calendar. Right? And everything else is like super flexible. What does that tell you? What's your highest priority? Your work is your highest priority. It's the thing that you focus on the most, and that's why everything else will be a mess. So right here, like, what should it be? Like, for me personally, again, I my spiritual life is important to me. It doesn't have to be important to you. Your life is your life. My life is my life. I'm just giving you an example, and I'm just kind of letting you behind the curtain here to see this is how I personally live it out. I will tell you that my husband gets up, you know, he heads straight into his home office, and he has his time with God first thing in the morning. Is it 2 hours? Nope. It's however long it is that he feels like it needs to be. That's between him and God. And that's not something that he's done always. It's something he has practiced for the last 3.5 years, though, and has made a massive, massive difference in my husband. And I mean massive. He is not the same man at all. So anyway, so do that. So what I'm doing right now, so this is my calendar. Do yours. So if you want your spiritual life, you got spiritual goals that is important to you, then set aside time for that. Okay, so I'm not going to color all of it, but that gives you an idea. The other part is that of something else that is really important for us and for yourself. I don't know if you know this, but your physical body was made, designed to work 6 days. Your physical body was put together, the machinery of your body, the machinery of your mind was put together to work 6 days and to rest one. That was one of the first things I learned with managing my time. And man, it was hard for my head to grasp that. But boy, the benefit was unbelievable. So it was having a day of rest. Right now, my day of rest starts Friday night. So that, by the way, is honoring my creator who says, work 6, rest 1. Okay? So I choose that Friday night at sundown is my rest day. And it continues until Saturday night at sundown. So that's my time of rest where it's a pajama day. It's a lay in bed day, go for a walk day. I do nothing. I don't clean. I don't cook. I don't do laundry. I don't organize. I don't do business appointments. I generally don't touch my cell phone. I definitely am not checking email. I'm not making purchases. I'm not doing any kind of business at all, no kind of planning at all. It is just a vegetation day. When the kids were little, we would have them take a nap. So that was like literally, it used to be in the beginning I had it to be on a Sunday, and then I found getting up and going to church, taking a shower, driving, going, all that stuff was not restful, right? So that's when I changed it to a Saturday. It was like, Sunday is not a rest day for me. It's, if I got to put makeup on, I ain't resting. Right? If I got to get myself dressed, I ain't resting. If I have an appointment to get to, this is not rest for me. So I changed it to Friday night, which is the biblical Sabbath, by the way. The literal biblical Sabbath happens every Friday night at sundown until Saturday night at sundown. It's called Shabbat. And so that's what we do. So from Friday to all through Saturday, that's a day to rest. And it is powerful. I will never forget the first time that I did it. Initially, it was, oh crap. Something's going to fall apart. And my head was just spinning like, I got to do. And then the next time I felt guilty. Like, how lame is that? That you feel guilty resting? If that isn't a jacked up program, I don't know what is. And not only that, but what are you living for and who are you living to? So in other words, that's a sign of slavery. That's a sign of slavery. So I was enslaved to money, enslaved to work. And when I wasn't working, I was feeling guilty, which was wrong. So my kids can tell you that those days it was a nap. We had pizza or leftovers, you know, that or cereal or whatever. Like, it wasn't the big ta-da, big cooked out meal type of thing. No, laundry didn't happen that day. There was no chores on that day. Everyone just rested. It's pajama day. And they loved that. Some of them. Some of them sometimes. Okay, so anyway, and by the way, we still do that to this day. It's really cute. It's a tradition in our house. Shabbat is a tradition that we keep. It's so cute. I got a text Friday night, you know, when we were on our dinner break, from Christina, my oldest, who said, Landon is really, really sad that they're not having Shabbat at your house tonight. So I called him, and we had Shabbat together. We FaceTimed. I blew my shofar with him. We'd said our little prayers together, had our bread, our wine together. So awesome. It's cute. Those are traditions that they remember, that they love, which is really sweet. So anyway, so that, by the way, so me taking a day of rest is living unto God. That's part of taking care of myself, of unplugging from business, letting my mind slow way down, and the whole family having the opportunity to slow way down. Everyone's just chilling out and not doing anything. No one has any responsibilities that day. So next would be the spouse. And so for Hans and I, the next thing that we did in our calendars, we established a date night. And we established and set appointments for the times that we were going to spend together. Very, very important. So date night for us now is Saturday night. So I have all day to lounge around, and then at the end of the day, take my shower, wash my hair, and I prepare myself as a bride every Saturday night. And the date night lasts until the next morning. You could say that again. And there were times where we have, like, gotten loose on that, and we paid a price for it. We paid a price for it. So many times that we come home and the kids are home and then we start talking to the kids, bad idea, bad idea. It's like, nope, we're going straight to the bedroom and our date is going to continue. So we go out, dinner, movie, a drive, whatever. Sometimes we have a date day. Sometimes there's a whole date day. Those are super fun. So it's like leaving at noon, we're just going for a long drive. We are, and Hans is building his dream house right now. He's paying cash for his dream house, and love to go up and sit on the property and just sit on the dirt and look at the view and dream about what's coming. Right now, the house has been framed, so we're, you know, going and walking through and picturing this and that and all that, doing that together. So, yeah, you know, whatever it is that you guys like to do together, it's important to do something. Initially, thought we were going to kill each other on these date nights, but it didn't take very long before we actually looked forward to it. So that was the first, was establishing a date night. And by the way, some of you might say, well, you know, we really can't afford to go on a date. That means that your spouse is not your priority.
Walk Walmart, it's free.
Walk Walmart, it's free. Yeah, some people like to do that. It's fun. I love going to the grocery store with Hans. He just makes me laugh the whole time. He is so freaking funny, and he's always getting in trouble, causing trouble, disrupting things, like... It's hilarious, flirting with me. I'm like, dude, people are watching. I'm not kidding you. He's terrible. Thank you. He's so much fun. Anyway, so yeah, there's all kinds of things that can be done. So as she says, we like to walk through Walmart. It's just fun to walk through Walmart. If you have the ability to not spend money, you have that kind of self-control, then go do that, you know. Or again, it doesn't cost any money to stargaze. Doesn't cost squat to go for a little drive, pull over, park, and have a portable Motel 6 in your car. That's super fun. It is super fun. It is super fun. It's super fun. It's actually funner. It's actually funner. Now our kids are gone. The backyard is a blast.
my kids. Oh my God. That's nice. Anyway, get creative. Do the things you did. Do the things you did when, you know, when you were courting. Do those things. Go back to doing those things, you know. There, it's fun and it's exciting and plan things out. It's super fun. But what happens is that couples just live together. They become roommates instead of lovers. And so if you want a loving relationship, you got to put time and planning into that. You got to create that experience, which is why, again, and my kids can tell you that every date night, what does mom look like when I'm leaving? Smoking hot is what Erica just said. Mom looks smoking hot when she leaves for her date. My hair is not in a bun. I am a bride. When I leave for that date, I am a bride. Amen. So it's everything that he likes, it's on me. So he showed the picture. No, you don't have the picture. You don't have the picture. But I mean, he showed the picture of me next to his plane, yeah. Right? Tight little dress, little stockings, hair all done up, making all that was a date night. So no, put effort into yourselves, ladies. Look hot for your man, and men, you too. Han smells good on a date night. He's got a nice shirt on, jeans, his cowboy boots. Mwah! Anyway, yummy, 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 yummy. So awesome. And we love to just talk, you know. So if it's going out to a restaurant, and we'll have a four-hour meal just to talk, and we just tell the waiter, we will call you when we want something. Because don't keep coming back asking if we're ready to order an entree, because we're not. We're going to take our time. We're going to be here for about 3 or 4 hours. And that's how we roll. Do we have a talk business? No, do not talk business in your date night. That's got to be separated time. Just this has got to be time enjoying each other, forming each other, dreaming about the future together. Like totally have that time. Holy means set apart. You just set this apart for a time to just be loving on each other. If you want to book a time to talk to your spouse about business, then that's a business meeting. So book an appointment for the business meeting.
You talk about planning stuff for the kids?
Yes, but it really needs to be about each other. The kids is a separate conversation. So the marriage is its own entity, and then there is the children. And so the marriage has to be a higher priority over the children, because if it's not, when it flips, the marriage is in big trouble. Yep. And there's usually spouses who feel like they're not on anyone's priority list. And that's when there's marriage problems. All right. So we also set around time. Right now we have every night together. So wild. But there has been times in the past where, especially when our kids are little, I'm going to switch over there. Because how many have kids in the home? Okay. So let's talk about how to manage that time with kids in the home. So we worked Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And so Hans would have Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights where he was, working late or whatever, working on projects. Or we had business meetings. We had a business model where we used to do presentations at night 3 days a week. So in that case, our time together was at night after the kids went to bed. So at 8 o'clock at night, I had the kids in bed. And then after that, it's me and Hans' time. Sorry, not on Mondays. I'm so sorry. It'd be at 10 o'clock at night, because he'd be done sometimes. And we would communicate this, you know, of when we would be together. But like Wednesday nights, it was 8 o'clock, him and I. And this was just together, enjoying time together. Thursday night after 10 p.m., sometimes, not always. And that's how that would look, all right? So you write in what you want with your spouse or your significant other of what appointment times that you want to have. Well, I need to go home and talk to him about it. Why? Just write it in, and if it changes, it changes. It's okay. But just, you got to have something down so that there's some kind of a plan so that you know to do it, all right? So this is what that looked like. All right, so if you're single and you don't want to be, what would you do with this spouse time?
Yeah, it's prospect. It's time to prospect for a spouse. Seriously. What? Did someone just say go and expose? What does that look like? Keep your clothes on would be good. Okay, what does that mean? It's like, do eHarmony. Get on some dating sites. Start forming some people. Put yourself in social settings to meet people. So that'd be going out into social settings to where, again, the kind of spouse you're looking for, you, again, on your goal list, it's like, what specific, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. So be very specific of who it is that you're looking for, that you're targeting, and then figure out where does that type of a person hang out. Right? What is that person's interest and hobbies? What are they interested in? And then you go to those places to meet that person. You're going to find that person in those circles of influence. Does that make sense? She's like, yay, that makes sense. Yes. It's not random how you find a spouse in today's world. You can be very, very targeted and very, very specific. All right? So you get involved with community stuff if you're looking for a community kind of a guy. You know, whatever your interests are. If you're looking for someone that really enjoys art because you enjoy art, then you better go to art shows. Right? Go to art museums. Go put yourself in places like that because that's where you're going to find the kind of person that you're looking for. All right. So you set aside those times. That's appointed times. Next was our kids. So this was family time, time with our children. And we had a big family. So this is it's awesome. And I'm so grateful that I had a big family because if I didn't, I would not have had managed my time very well. So that's orange time. Now for me, I picked the kids up from school if they were in school. So that was 3 o'clock on, it's me and the kids. I gotta take that away from Monday. Sorry. All right, and then we had a dinner hour without fail. As a family. All right, so even on the days that I worked, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, I worked from 12 to 9, something like that, with a dinner break. So I always came home and had dinner with my kids, and we had a dinner hour every day. All right, so even on my work days and my 20 hours a week, I had that time, that dinner time hour in there without fail. And we had a rule in our house to not talk business during dinner. Now, there were times and seasons where that rule was broken, and we made those corrections to not talk about business. Once in a while, it would come up. It was definitely not an everyday thing. Majority of the time in our marriage, raising our kids, the dinner table did not have a business conversation. It really was about the kids' day, what they did, what they liked that they did, all that kind of stuff. So then Wednesday was a whole mom day for me. So, kids got picked up at 3. This is all family time for me. Thursday's 5 o'clock dinner hour. Friday, pick the kids up at 3. And so this spiritual time, keep it in honoring this day of rest. I'm still with my kids. And, you know, now we have a big Friday night family dinner. When I'm in town. It's a big Friday night. Super fun. With music and great food and homemade challah every week. Okay, so it also meant that Saturdays is also family time. So these are mixed together. This is the whole family resting, playing games, whatever, going for walks, whatever. Okay, so then there's also that family time in the morning. For some people, Hans was so gracious, and he's the one who got the kids up in the morning and took them to school on his way to the gym or whatever. Different seasons, do you understand? That's like different seasons where I'm the middle of the night waking up every few hours kind of thing. And then he just kept doing it, which was like super precious. So that's this first week. We'll just keep this first week as a guide. So you set that time aside. Now, here's something really important. If you wouldn't take a business call
if you wouldn't interrupt your business time or a business appointment, if you had an appointment with an important person and you wouldn't allow your children to come in and interrupt that appointment, then that reverse has to be true. Then you shouldn't be interrupting your appointments with your kids, your time with your kids, with phone calls about business, checking your email, having business conversations. You again, take the time off the table. So what does that mean? This is taking time off the table right here. I'm establishing the time that I'm with my children, and nothing is going to get in the way of my time with my children. I'm not going to have a business conversation. I'm not going to check email. I'm not going to do any of that crap when I'm with my kids. So, and this was a rule that I had forever, that when my kids were in school, and like some of them were in a physical school, when I pulled up at 3:10 and they were getting off a bus or whatever, and I got them, there was no phone call that I was on. I was never on the phone while I was picking up my kids. Not talking to someone else. 100% of the time that after I pick them up from school, I'm talking to them, and that's it. And we're just talking about their day. And we get home, we get the homework done, we start cooking together. And all that time, by the way, all my cooking time with the kids, all that stuff is family time. That's all very important time together. Doing laundry, taking care of my house, right? So I did all those things. Now, there was a season, there were seasons. I didn't have a consistent nanny the whole time the kids were growing up at all. There were different periods where I had one for a year and a half and then nothing for 3 years and then one for a year and then nothing for a year. Depended on the season of where we were at. 4 years, absolutely nothing. Actually, more than 4 years. A lot of years. Majority of the years, we did not have a nanny. There were just certain little seasons that we did, and they were only 20 hours a week. They were only part-time, sometimes less than 20 hours a week because they wouldn't come. I would work from home, and I would start them after my kids woke up from a nap. Right, so from 12 to 3, the kids are napping. I'm doing business during that time, and then I'd have them come for a few hours after the kids woke up from school. So it's about segregating time and being all there for that time. And that creates really good relationships with them to where they're not competing with your business or anything else for that matter. Okay, so that's the kid part, and now the work part. The work part, okay, and I got to tell you this. For me and where my heart is right now in my life, working out is part of my God time. And it really is, because for some of you, you just love doing that. It is a total sacrifice. It's an absolute living sacrifice for me. It really is. This is a hard thing for me to learn, to get my head wrapped around there. So this is me. I'm saying, God, I'm taking care of my physical body. I'm loving myself by keeping myself healthy and keeping myself strong. So those appointments now, again, I just started doing something like that a year ago. But those are appointments set in my schedule to where I same time, you know, 3 days a week or 4 days a week, that's when I do those things. So you want to have, if you work out, that goes in your calendar. You can call it whatever, you can pick whatever color it is that you want. You know whether or not it really is for that reason or whether or not it's for vanity reasons. And whatever it is what it is. If you're doing something physical to keep your body strong, I'm proud of you. Really, really proud of you. It's important. It sets a good example. Now, if it is your God, you got some issues. Don't make it your God. But it's important to have something that you're doing for your health. Because if you don't, you're going to pay the price. Actually, I lied. Your family's going to pay the price. Your family is the one that's going to pay the price for your bad health and the choices that you put in your mouth. Your family will pay that price. And it's a very emotional price. It's really bad. I mean, that's why I started. It was right after my hysterectomy. And my daughter, Erica, came and took care of me for a month because I was on bed for 10 weeks or whatever. It's like, that's it. That my poor kid is coming to take care of me, and I'm 47 years old. This sucks. This isn't right. She has her own life. It's not fair. Okay, so next, I've had to be taken care of too many times, and I don't like it, just because of the burden is on my family. So work. Here you go. So for me, I started after noon. All right, so for you, whatever your work schedule is, again, these are different seasons in my life where I adjusted the times that I work, and you're going to do the same thing. All right, so actually,
Right now, I'm 11 o'clock. When I go back to work, I'll start at 11 until 5. All right, so you have, like, your drive time, you know what I mean? However, I mean, it takes 5 minutes for me to get to my office. But for you, it might take 30 minutes, it might take an hour. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to just block out your whole thing called work. You have a lunch break. You have the time of when you start, and you. But there's the other time of what is what I call white space. And so that might be your driving time, your getting ready in the morning time. Do you understand? So you have this white space that you can now do what with? So the goal is to fill this in to where you find your white space, okay? So, yes, so now what you do is you take those goals that you have, right? You take the goals that you have, the places you want to go, the people you want to see, whatever, all right? And these white spaces in here, down here, over there, all that white space is for the goals that are on your sheet. And predominantly the one-year ones. So where now you, again, like Nancy, I book the appointment to set my surfing lessons. Okay, so you have that goal. Now you break that goal down into tasks. The tasks have to have an appointment. Make the appointment, you get the task done. And the appointment goes in all of your white space is where it goes. Okay? All right, now for, hold on. All right, that's cool. Now for business time management, it's very similar. Very, very similar. You establish what your business priorities are. If you don't have business priorities, your business is going to run wild and go whichever direction it is that it's going to go. And that's not helpful or beneficial to you. Every business, one of the priorities has to be new business, new blood, bringing new people into the door. That has to be a priority. Lead generation, marketing, that has to be a priority. If it's not a priority, you're not in business. You're going to go out of business. Okay? You have to establish what those are. For some people, customer service is a high priority. But you have to establish what those priorities are, and you live that business out according to the priorities, just like you do according to the family priorities. So you have to establish those. For us, God is the number one important priority inside of our company as well. He's the CEO of our corporation. Of everything that I'm currently doing, it is the number one priority. So everything goes through the scope of him, and our clients and service is huge for us. Customer service, making sure that we're not frustrating people, making sure that we're creating systems that make their life and business easier, that we're servicing them in a way that gives them a wow experience, that they feel good about our brand, is a really huge priority. I just want to know, have any of you experienced that from us? Do you feel like that's a priority, that you are a priority to us? Okay, because you are. That's on our list of priorities. You are our most important priority outside our doors, but also how our staff is treated internally is a huge priority for us as well. Making sure that they're fed well, they're watered well, that even during these events, our staff are taking breaks, that they're getting time to rest. We don't want ever anyone overworked, ever. We want people to feel good about it. And we don't do any overtime. I don't allow it. And I want people to take their vacation time. I want them to take their PTO. I want them to leave and do not email me when you're off. I don't want it. So it's about major boundaries. So I want them to have a good life. If they have a good life, it affects their work when they're at work. Do you know what I mean? So we want to make sure that our staff knows that we care about the quality of their life. And part of that is establishing, you're on vacation. Don't you dare call here. Don't you dare post anything about here. Don't you dare email us. You're out of here. Go. I don't want to hear from you. Unless you're my friend, I want to hear how your vacation is going. But if you're with your husband, you better not even come close to trying to talk to me when you're on vacation with your husband. Your husband's the priority. Forget about us. We will survive without you. Go have a good time.
Okay. All right. So because this was the second most popular requested topic, I would love to spend about 10 minutes solving any problems or answering any questions that you have about this right here. Okay, so just put up your hands and hold me the 10 minutes. You can stand up. It's good to see you again, gorgeous. I ran into you at the airport. Yes, it was a beautiful exchange that we had. That was in Orlando, right? Yes. Yeah.
So as a single mom,
uh-huh,
in the dating game, when does...
In the what?
In the dating game.
In the dating game. Can, yes. Can I challenge you on that?
Rephrase it.
No, I don't want you to rephrase it.
Okay.
Why are you dating?
I'm not. Right now.
How old is your son?
3.
What if you don't?
It's a possibility.
You only got 15 years. Do you know how fast that is? It's like this. Take it from a mom.
I want more kids.
You want more kids? I would be praying about that. I'd be seeking your God about what his plan is for your life. Yeah, that's what I'd be doing. And I'd be praying about that desire to have more kids also. Is it from him or mm-hmm. is it from your own flesh? Because if it's from him, then he's got the perfect thing set up for you mm-hmm. and you're not going to be in the dating game. You're not going to waste time with a bunch of possible suitors and right. get yourself in a bad set of circumstances, you know what I mean, that
yes.
you might be familiar with.
Yes.
Right? So yes. the other thing too, so number one, I would pray about that. I would pray about whether or not that desire is right from him mm-hmm. and if it is something that you're supposed to do. And then when is the season for you to even begin to look or put yourself in mm-hmm. that place? When was the last time you were in a relationship?
Right before I started coming here.
Which was when?
18 months ago.
Oh, good. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Have you slept with anyone?
No, not since then.
I am so freaking...
Yeah.
Give that girl a hand. Wow. That's big growth, right? Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank
That's
you.
Having your priorities straight right there.
Yes.
So if it's about wanting to have more kids, like I said, pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's the case and it's... begin to be specific about what it is that you're looking for, and then have some very serious boundaries set about what you will not do in the pursuit of that desire.
Yes.
Where you will not go, what you will not do. And you establish those boundaries and you don't cross them.
Then at what point does that person get shifted into the spouse priority over the kid?
After the vows are exchanged.
Okay.
And only after the vows are exchanged. He's not your husband until those vows have been exchanged.
Thank you.
So they do not go in that spouse. So many women do that. It is
yes.
so unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, so unhealthy to move a guy, a date, into a dad position before he is actually the husband and the provider and the caregiver of the household. Yeah, very unhealthy. So
thank you.
Not till the vows are exchanged. Yeah. Right behind you.
Hi. This is my first dynasty. I love it here. Okay, I'm like yelling all weekend and suddenly I lost my thought.
I think your voice is adorable.
So I am, I'm in home business and I started applying this and it's been really tough sticking to the hours that I've set for business.
Why?
Because my business, a lot of people are at home at the time that my husband comes home.
Oh.
And it's been cutting into...
So hold on. So you're saying that these perfect strangers are a higher priority than your husband? Answer the questions, yes or no?
No.
Thank you. So then it's about honoring your husband to sit down and ask him for what he feels is best for both of your relationship and what he feels he could be most comfortable with what nights per week that you could be allotted to work and that you wouldn't work any other nights outside of that. So that's a discussion to honor him as the head of the household, and he's watching out for you. He cares for you.
He sees the struggle, the internal struggle, the stress and the anxiety and the pull that is happening inside of you for business. So when you sit down and you want to honor him and say, I want to get your advice and I want you to tell me because you can see me in a way that I can't see me. And I would like to know what you would feel most comfortable with, which nights per week and how many hours would you feel is best for our marriage, because our marriage is the higher priority over any business. And I don't want to do anything that would hurt our marriage. Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Can I? You have one? You're so awesome, Erica. Right over here. Actually, is it on? Yes, it is.
Wednesdays I carve out my time to be the caretaker of my grandfather. He's 89.
Wow.
He's a
awesome.
Miracle child, I call him. He almost died. He was in hospice. Mm-hmm. His leg got amputated.
So you take care of him.
We take care of him. We need a caretaker. I'm moving in October on Wednesdays.
And?
So I'm just had the conversation with my mom before I came here that let's start recruiting for a caretaker that we know is diligent, can work. How do I recruit in that time frame?
Excuse me?
a caretaker.
Did you really ask that question? Well, there is some white space on your board.
Mm-hmm.
And with your white space on your board, you set an appointment to go recruit.
On the white space, not the orange.
Say again?
Not the white space.
Your white space,
space,
wherever your white space is. You're going to recruit, you're going to make phone calls, you're going to network, you're going to find whoever the next caregiver is. And who else is in the family that can help find the caregiver also?
My mom.
Yeah, so you both are going to make appointments to go recruit somebody to help take care of your grandfather.
Okay.
That's how you do it. There's people that do that professionally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find them. They're not hard to find.
Okay, next question.
No. There's almost 1,000 people in here, and about 400 of them have questions. Diane, where are you? Go ahead. Erica, just go randomly. There's a guy in the back with a beard. Find him. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So our business operates on call pretty much all the time.
Uh-huh.
We try to make sure that our employees have enough work to keep their families fed. And so being that it's on call all the time, ultimately, my schedule is the schedule that is the most sporadic.
Why?
Because they take care of 99% of the work that happens, and that last 1% of work that gets called on last minute, I take that so that way I don't have to hire another person so that their hours get cut. And I'm struggling to figure out...
What's the higher priority?
Well, my family, absolutely. So do I hire another person and cut all of everyone other hours?
Who wants more hours? And who can you train to do your 1% job?
But how do they afford to only work 1% of the time?
No, it's an addition. I said, who wants to work more hours and can take on your 1% part of the work that you're doing? That's go home and ask.
Right.
There might be a guy or a girl, whoever it is that you have on your staff, they'd be like, I would love more hours. Right? Yes, please. Train me. Show me. I would love to do that. I'd love to be on call. That'd be fun. Might be a single person that's on your staff that would... love to do that. Yeah, absolutely. You're welcome. Go ahead.
So I'm the guy that he's about to give his hours to.
Is he your employee? Is that your employee?
No, I already have the hours.
You already have the hours?
I already have the hours. I work in IT, so I work field tickets, which means that living in Southwest Fort Worth, I can get a call that says, hey, I realize it's 4:45, but my server is on flames, and I need you in Northeast Dallas.
Yep.
And so how do I manage the time so that I make sure that my lovely bride and my 2-year-old son don't miss out on daddy time?
So you tell me, what's the higher priority?
Well, them, of course, but if I...
Oh, did you see where you said, but if...
But, yes, I did say but if.
Who signed up for that position?
Yeah, that was me.
And do you know why you signed up for that position?
Because it paid for them. At that time.
Because the priority wasn't time with them. Otherwise, you would have kept looking for a different option. And you would have established, this is the time I am available. I am on call from this time to this time.
Thanks.
Okay, so I want to run on that real quick. Job domination is a really important thing for everybody in this room to study, because it is going to show you how to position yourself to where you can always cherry pick the best possible hours for yourself. And it's all based on the trust and the production that you establish before the boss. So for example, so if it's about, okay, so right now you find yourself in a situation where you're like, hold on a second, man, I don't want my kid and my wife to miss out. I want to have, if your desire is to have more time with them, their desire is for you to have more time with them. This is a very simple conversation. You go back to the boss, and again, this isn't job domination. One of dozens and dozens of strategies in there so that you can live your life by design instead of by default. So that's a default life. That's a default life, right? I'm cornered. I'm trapped. I can't change it. Yes, you can. You're in control of your own life and your own decisions. How did we get in that situation? Because sad to say it, my wife and my kids were not the priority. My business was a priority. So now what do? We make the adjustment. No guilt, no shame here. It's just fix the freaking problem, right? Okay, so, sorry, it kind of sounded like a man there for a minute. I do that sometimes. Anyway, so in this case, you've had the revelation that, wait a second, I have a 2-year-old. I have this beautiful bride that I love to be with. How can I fix this? And sit down with your boss and say, hey, listen, first of all, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be a part of this company. You had the choice to pick a whole lot of other people here in Dallas, Texas. There are thousands of men that do IT and can do it very well. I want to know what I can do to serve you even better. I want to know what I can do to help this company grow. I want to know what I can do to be better at relieving you from stress and anyone else. And if you see me doing anything that is not helpful and beneficial to helping that goal, I want you to tell me what it is. So can you give me 3 things that you would like to see me work on after today? They may say, I would love it if people came to me and said that. Yeah. I would love it. It's like, that, again, feedback is not an attack. It's the key to success. So when he may say, dude, you're awesome, I got nothing. Or he may say, well, actually, 1, 2, 3. And that's like, yay, thank you. Now you've got a clear bullseye and you know exactly how to hit the target. But on the other side of it is, and this is how you close up that conversation, I just want to let you know that I've got a 2-year-old son and a wife, and I want to get my production up to a place where I can earn the right to be able to be on call during these hours and those hours alone. I don't want to ever be in a place where I am not going to work here anymore because it is infringing on my family time. Because you know there's other options. There's other places to go, and that's the last thing in the world I want to do. I want to stay right where I'm at, and I want to help build this company. I want to help relieve everybody that is here. And I'm willing to do it during these hours. So can you give me a path and a plan on how I can accomplish that? And if you're a great employee, they will do it. They will figure out. They will. They absolutely will. The ones that are not valuable, the ones who cause problems, the ones who don't meet the deadlines, the ones that, you know what I'm saying? The ones that are not dependable, those people having that conversation, it's like, bye, see ya, leave now, please. You should go home and spend more time with your wife and kids. Let me help you find a different job. I'm not kidding you. I've done that before. I literally have found other jobs for other people. Why? Because I have loved all of my employees. I've loved them. And there are some that just were a wrong fit, period. They just could not do the job. So it's like, I'm going to find something else for you to do. And I actually found a higher paying job for the person. Why? Because it was in their niche. They were trying to do something in our company that they didn't have the ability to do. But they had something they could do for someone else, and it was a higher value. And I'm never going to pay somebody to do this job just because they have higher value in that job. That's not your job, period. So, okay, awesome. Does that make sense? Have that conversation. Do you have job domination?
Yes.
Have you pressed play? You got it here? Okay, awesome. It's going to blow your mind. It's going to open up your mind to so many opportunities that you have before you. I'm excited for you. You're going to write me and you're going to tell me that, yeah, I got my hours fixed. And my wife and my son are my higher priority. And then you're going to tell me, like, your wife is pregnant again. Okay. All right. You'll be at First Steps to Hot Marriage. That's awesome. Okay, cool. All right. So that pretty much concludes it. You know that we have the training series called Time Secrets, okay? It gets more in depth. There's a workbook in there. It's a pretty big, thick workbook in there. Going to walk you through all of the steps. And listen to me. How many of you have applied some of Time Secrets? Okay, and how many of you have fallen off the wagon from time to time? Guess what? So have I. I'm off of it right now because I have way too much time. I am so off the wagon, and that's why I was like, I need to do something. Something needs to get on that calendar. I have way too much white space. It's very dangerous for someone like me to have lots of white space. It's not good. It's not healthy for someone like me. I'm a highly productive person who's not producing very much right now. I know that sounds crazy to you, right? Running a multi-million-dollar company, just you know, $5.2 million that we've raised in 2.5 years, like, I've got a daily show. I've got another show that we're working on. Yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm really not for me, meaning I know how to get a lot done in a very short period of time just from focus. And so anyway, so I understand about falling off the wagon. Get back on. That's the whole purpose of us getting together at least twice a year for creating a dynasty, at least for that, right? To just like recenter ourselves, refocus ourselves, get that axe sharpened again. We're never going to be done. We're never, ever, ever going to be done. We're just going to be getting better and better and better and better through time is what we're going to do, okay? All right, cool. So I hope, did you learn anything with that? Okay. All right. You need to go pee. We have one last exercise that you are going to love, and then we're going to be out of here. All right, so go to the bathroom, 10-minute break, and we'll see you back. And I'll be up here for questions if you have them.
Now, some of you are thinking about getting baptized tonight. You're signed up to be baptized tonight. If that is you, pool deck is on the third floor, but the access to the pool deck, are you ready for this? You have to take the elevator to the fifth floor, and then go down the stairs to the third floor. So 30 minutes after the end of this next session, so when it's all wrapped up and it's all done, we're going to take 30 minutes. And you're going to go up to you're going to take the elevator up to the fifth floor and then stairs down to the pool deck on the third floor. So if you want to be baptized, there's your directions. Can't say I didn't tell you. Glad to be a blessing. So if I can get everyone to say, you're so beautifully trained. And please quickly move back to your seats.
Okay. We're going to send you home with a final skill set that will help to grow your team, help to reduce stress at home, and help to take pressure off the people that are around you and pressure off of you. Where are you, James? Here we are. Okay, I want you to imagine that there is a farmer. You know, we talked a lot about seed this weekend, right? We talked about seed and soil and seed reproducing itself, right? And there's, your words are seed, right? And your words have power, right? Remember the tri-exercise? Life and death is in the power of the tongue, right? And your entire reality is controlled by the speech center of your brain. What you are speaking. You're speaking death over your spouse that's not acting right, that's not doing things the way you want it done. Again, this is selfishness, and you're killing the situation instead of edifying the situation, instead of building the situation up. I want you to imagine a farmer. And he has a plot of land. You've heard me talk about this even at First Steps to Success, remember? So he has a plot of land, and he goes and he gets the best seed, he gets the workers, he plants it, he looks out a week later after all this hard work, right? I mean, a ton of work, toiling, getting that soil broken up, fertilizing the soil, getting the rocks out of that soil, like just getting it beautiful, that dark, rich soil. How many of you have ever grown anything like that, right? Like you plant something in the ground and it bears something. It's really an exciting thing to do. It really is such a cool thing to do. It's very empowering, and you can learn a lot from growing a garden. I've had a garden many times throughout my adult life. In fact, when JP was trying to push me out of retirement for not any gain for himself by any stretch of the imagination, I literally was in my garden, and I was harvesting my jalapenos. And he just sat there with his arms crossed going, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm about to make some salsa." That's what I'm doing. I'm going to make some salsa. He's like, "But what are you doing? Wow. Like, Danny, it's great that you got a garden and you're home with your kids, but this is not what you're supposed to be doing. Like, I like my salsa. And you're going to like it too tonight for dinner." Anyway, but it's a beautiful thing to go and loosen up some soil and pull the rocks and kill the weeds that were already in there and plant some seed and begin to see a week, 10 days, where there's a little sprout that pops up. So I want you to imagine a farmer who goes out to his field and he sees this. And there's hundreds of them, right? There's hundreds of them. And he looks at that and he says, "This is all? After all of that hard work, after dealing with the workers that I had, some of my equipment that broke, all that money that I spent, there's just that weak suck little sprout. That's all I get after all of this time and effort, hard work, and blisters that I got? This is it?" He stomps on it, and he turns away, and he abandons his field. How do you think that's ridiculous? A farmer wouldn't do something like that, right? But yes, every day, you farmers do that. A sprout is evidence of what is to come. A sprout is evidence of what is to come. The sprout is proof. It's a guarantee. It's proof. It's a guarantee of what is to come. It's not full grown yet, but listen to me, girl. It's proof. I promise. I've been thinking about you all night. It's proof. You're sowing seed. Keep going. You're sowing seed. That little tiny sprout needs nourishing and protection. That's what it needs. It needs to be fed. It needs to be protected. How do we step on our sprouts? I've worked so hard. I'm not getting the results that I want. It's going too slow. It's not strong enough. It's not where I thought it would be at this time. Yes, Danny, I stepped out. I started using these tools, but I'm not a millionaire yet. Danny, I stepped out. I started a business. It's not working yet. Yes, I made some calls. I did some dials. I read the script. But the but is the stomping on the sprout. The but is the stomping on the sprout. What you feed will flourish. What you neglect will die. And wannabe entrepreneurs and wannabe successful people every day abandon their fields. Every day they abandon their fields. It takes a lot of courage to invest in yourself. It takes a lot of courage to invest in something like job domination. If you have a job and you're wanting to do your very best, and you're wanting to help the economy by helping to grow a business, right? You're an entrepreneur and you've taken advantage of the whole DJU, all the entrepreneurial things, and you're like, you've done all those things. You've been to, 50 first steps, 20 for creating a dynasty. And you're still not where you want to be. That's abandoning your field and stepping on your sprouts. The sprout is evidence of what is to come. It is impossible to plant seed and not reap. But the liar does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the liar does come to have your mind just focused on how weak that tiny little result is and try to cause you, I'm not kidding you, to forget about all the impact that you've had, to make you forget that what you're doing is actually generational. And it's much bigger than what you think. It's much more powerful than what you think. But when we look at a number and we look at the growth of where it isn't where I had projected it to be, and this impatience starts to grumble inside of us, and this thing that starts to say, oh crap, I screwed up, I should have done this, I should have done that, or whatever, you're stomping on your sprouts. You're abandoning your field. I'm sure many of you have heard the story in Think and Grow Rich, that story of 3 feet from gold. It's a really powerful story. It's a true story of gold miners and a man who had bought this land, and he's digging, he misses it. Somebody else bought it, missed it. The next guy takes it. It was 3 feet from where the last guy quit. 3 feet, just 3 feet from where the last guy quit. You're not the guy or the girl that's going to quit. You are not the one that's going to quit. You are the one that will continue. You're not going to be the one that makes it easy for someone else. Do you understand? So all the plowing that you're doing, you have some kind of sprout right now. You came out of First Step to Success. You started to apply something. How many of you applied something? Whether the something was internal, working on your heart issues, you've worked through some forgiveness, dealing with leadership issues, dealing with trust issues, dealing with trust even in yourself, dealing with your relationship with your God, dealing with the relationships with those who are around you, dealing with your insecurities, right? You have sprouts about that. You're stronger than you were before First Steps. In some way, you're stronger. For others of you, you applied war on debt. You went home and you began to work at that. You began to start looking at everywhere you were spending money. And some of you just even thinking about it was a sprout, because it was in the opposite direction of the way you were thinking before. The fact, if you went to Walmart and you felt guilty about buying something, that is a sprout. Because you didn't feel guilty before. Do you hear what I'm saying? It never even entered your head. In fact, before, you were unconsciously purchasing everything that you didn't need. And so if you came out of First Steps and after hearing more on debt, you started to go, whoa, I don't know if this is a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't. And you did anyway. That still is a sprout, because at least you thought about it. So you have to look at this. Look at how vulnerable it is. Look at how vulnerable it is. Look at how small it is. But guess what it turns into? If you nurture it, if you protect it, if you guard it, and you feed it, and you continue to believe, even though the tree is unseen, even though the full results, the fruit that you're looking for off the tree is totally unseen, the fact is that that little thing, the little sprout, is evidence of what is to come. And that's where it requires faith, and to keep speaking the unseen. Because the unseen is the reality, not the seen. What you see is not the reality. What you see in the sprout is simply a promise for what's down there. That's what it is. It's a promise of what is to come. So we sometimes can affect the amount of time that something takes But other times we can't. How many of you found that to be true? You can't make a sprout turn into a tree fast. You just can't. But you do have to pass the testing of time. You have to learn how to have patience during the passing of time. It takes time for things to reach the fullness of where it's supposed to be. But on the journey, you have to make sure to protect and guard and give life to every little sprout that you see. So I want to show you how to create a system to where you're building success upon success upon success upon success. And it is one sprout at a time. It's just one little sprout at a time. I had a woman who came to me, man, 2004. She was in her third marriage and considering getting a divorce in her third marriage. She was a beautiful woman in her 50s, late 50s, absolutely stunning and gorgeous. And she had come to me telling me a story that there was a married man who had a wife, that he and his wife came to her saying that God told them that she was supposed to be a second wife in their household. You can't imagine the kind of stories I've heard throughout my career. It's really, they're amazing. It's very entertaining. So after a discussion with her, and she's sharing this with me, and then she's telling, proceeding to tell, complain about her husband. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he's not this, he's not that. He wasn't abusive, he's a precious guy. He looked like Kenny Rogers. He was gorgeous, absolutely. They both were a gorgeous couple. We can be deceived and have our minds taken to a place that's very, very dark. And we can be enticed into thinking and believing in things that are just not even what we want. And that's where she was. And so she had convinced herself that she's going to end up in another divorce. And I shared what I'm sharing with you right now. I told her I wanted her to create a Sprouts journal. And this is a journal that every night before she goes to bed, she writes down 5 things that she's thankful for. 5 things, perhaps, that have improved. 5 things that she's thankful for, and 5 things that were sprouts. 5 little areas of improvement. 5 little areas where you see some little thing that is moving in the right direction. It's not a change. How does a life change? Well, some of us think it happens in a moment. No, a seed is dropped in a moment. And then through time, that thing begins to now flourish. And people have said this so many times. Oh, yeah, I was an overnight success. It took 20 years. But people just look at the success, right? They don't look at the journey and the hardship and all the failure that happens to get them to that place, right? I was an overnight success. It only took 20 years. Okay? There's a lot of very famous, successful people who have said that. Yeah, oh, yeah, I was an overnight success. No, it's not how it happens. Nobody is an overnight success. So I said to her, I said, write down 5 things you're thankful for and 5 sprouts, 5 things that you're seeing that there's improvement, just a little bit of improvement in any area. And I want you to do this first thing in the morning too. So first thing in the morning and at night takes a couple minutes a day. 5 things you're grateful for, 5 sprouts in the morning and at night. She did so. 4 weeks later, she was at another First Steps with her Kenny Rogers looking husband. Came to me with tears in her eyes, saying, my husband and I, our marriage has been totally restored. Thank you so much. I'm keeping that journal every single day. We're writing these things down. I cannot believe that I almost walked away from this man who loves me so much, who treats me so good, who is so wonderful in how he provides for me, and I was ready to quit because of where I let my mind go. The easiest way to help others succeed, to raise up other leadership, to cause yourself to be that environment that others want to be around, is to recognize your sprouts and theirs. To raise children, who are more confident than you. And I'm going to tell you something. My kids are much more confident than I am. They walk around telling everyone how awesome they are. You would never hear that out of my mouth. If I had the confidence that my two daughters have, I would be in huge trouble. There's a reason why I didn't get their confidence. There's a reason I didn't have their childhood. Because it'd be bad if I had that kind of confidence. I can't imagine the things I would do. The places I'd go. I mean, a badass. If I had their confidence. I'm hoping one day I have their confidence. She, my daughter, just said, "You will, Mom. You will." She just said, she goes, "She got me as a daughter." I'm just saying. I'm not kidding you. All of their confidence is crazy off the charts. They are all so much more confident than me. So much more bold than me. So much smarter than I ever was at their age. They blow my mind. Their ability to understand people is crazy. The kind of patience they have, I didn't have that when I was their age. They're amazing. Their depth of perception of human beings is outstanding. So, I didn't mean to brag on my kids, but... thanks. They're amazing people. They really are. They're precious. So, if you want to pull the best out of your kids, this is how I did it with mine, with Sprouts. Though there'd be times where you're like, "Whoa, when are you going to get this?" That does not help them get it. But it's recognizing one tiny little improvement at a time. Potty training, I think, is the hardest thing a mother will ever do. Outside of birthing and engorgement and nursing a child, potty training is a very painful experience. How many of you mothers would agree? It's so freaking hard. It's the worst. Not just the moms, yeah, the dads too. It's really hard. It's a really hard thing. So all of you need to go home and ask your mother and father to forgive you for peeing your pants when you're not supposed to. I'm serious. Do you know how, come on, you know, have any idea how hard it was for them to do that for you? And what a gift. Did you ever thank your parents for helping you not poop your pants anymore? Think about it. And then, of course, when you were 16 or 18 or 25, you like, you know, you were ticked off at your parents. They didn't do this, this, and this. Forgetting that all that crap they had to dig out of your diaper. How many times you had diarrhea, you puked, you lied, you made things hard for them. And they had what? The patience of a saint. Yeah, they flew off the handle net once in a while, or maybe in my case, all the time, every day. But I need to go call my mom and say thank you. Thank you so much that I am not an adult that poops my pants. Serious. It's hard to teach a kid not to poop themselves. Trust me, I have had to do it too many times. It really is. It's something we take for granted. So, but even with potty training, the little sprout. They didn't have pee in their diaper on their nap time today. Do you understand? Today. So it's recognizing the places that are moving in the right direction and refusing to feed what isn't going right. Yes. Refusing to feed what isn't going right. Because what you feed will flourish, what you neglect will die. What you feed will flourish, what you neglect will die. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to make a list right now. 5 things you're thankful for. Not yet. I want you to turn your chairs. I'm going to get you into your group first. Every other row, turn your chairs. Because you're going to talk about it. This is the last time you're doing that. That is a white hair that fell out of my head. It was right here. What are they? I want you to write 5 things you're grateful for and 5 sprouts. Remember, sprouts are not necessarily the result. If you have a result, write the result down. But a sprout is evidence of what is to come. So you've come out of First Step Success, whether it was 4 weeks ago, or it was a year ago, or it was 10 years ago, and you decided just to come home here for this dynasty. So in that, what are some sprouts that you've had since you've learned and applied the information that you got? You may not be where you want to be, but you are on your way. You're on your way, I promise. Five of each. For some of you, maybe since your last dynasty, man, you don't get offended as easy anymore, right? How many of you, that's one of your sprouts? Like, you don't get your chonies caught up in a wad anymore. Like, you're, like, stronger, less insecure. Okay, shh. Can you get into your groups of four? If you're not in a group of four, the whole group stand up that's broken. And then you guys got to move your butts. Go sit with each other. There we go. As soon as your group is complete, you can sit down. If everyone else can be quiet, shh. So these guys can solve their groups. Okay, we're moving. Again, groups are, no, don't raise your hand. Stand up, the whole group, stand up. Thank you. It's the whole group, the whole incomplete group. So look at that. There we go. Y'all get together. This 2 + 2 = 4. Visual works really well. Okay, so you guys are a 3. They need a 1. Well, one needs to go over here. That looks like 4 people all together right there. There we go. Right there. Where you guys are standing up? Okay, so we got a 2 top and a 1. Oh, no, you're a 1 right there. So we'll stand up. The incomplete group, stand up. They're confused. There we go. Are you guys needing 1? There's 1 walking by you right now. Mandy, no, Amanda. Oh, is that, were you guys completing 1? No, they need 1. She's going somewhere. So we need 1 person. Raven, why don't you sit in? You need 2? You need 2. We need 2. Can we get 2? That's a 4. Okay, so can I get 2 of our team to sit in with these guys, please? Is that Sally back there? Sally and Lori Meyerson? Can you guys get in this group right here? Cool. Now we are complete. I love it when that happens. It's complete. It's important to be complete. All right, here's what you're going to do. Person number 1, raise your hand. Person number 2. Person number 3. And number 4. Awesome. You know who you are. Okay, Poison number 1, you have 2 minutes to share your sprouts. The bell's going to ring, then person number 2 is going to share their sprouts and a list of what you're thankful for. You got 2 minutes to go through those things, okay? I want you to start with your sprouts. Start your sprouts. Hold on. When I say go is when you'll go. All right, so you got 2 minutes. First, start with your sprouts, and for the remaining of the time, you're going to go through the things that you're thankful for, okay? The bell's going to ring. Person number 2 goes. Bell's going to ring. Number 3, and number 4, and then I will have further instructions. Okay, I would like to see where, if there's a new person in here, that last exercise just nailed you good. Like, you learned something really, really good. Yeah, awesome. Old people, was that a reminder? Yes. Gosh, can you believe how easy it is not to do that? Yes. So easy not to do that. It's so easy for our heads to go. And it takes like just a few hours. Seriously. And then it's months of, you know, our head not being where it should be. Yeah. Isn't it crazy how we can relearn that? And it'd be just so fresh, like, I have to do this. So I encourage you, all of you, especially you grads, meaning second, third time, 50th time, you've been through Dynasty and you've heard about the Sprouts Journal, This is such a simple task. It's a simple task that keeps you on track for time secrets. It's a track keeper. Do you understand? It's a simple task that keeps you on track for developing wealth. It's a simple task that keeps you on track for your travel goals, your relationship goals, your spiritual goals. It is a simple little 5 minutes a day thing that keeps you on the right path. And as you do that consistently, in fact, if you're doing it every day, one of your sprouts is, I'm doing this right now. You know, so that's one that's out of the way. All you got is four left. Right? That's one right there. I'm doing my sprouts journal right now. I'm talking to you, Mr. Journal. This right here is a great big sprout. So I can't tell you how many people who've had depression completely gone from them just from a sprouts journal. Marriages completely saved. Businesses that have grown. People that were going to quit on everything in their life, no longer. Just from a simple sprouts journal. This is what champions do. Champions focus on where they want to go. They're recognizing the small improvements. They're tracking. And that's how you succeed. It's the little things. Do you understand? Faithful with little. This is a little thing that makes a big impact. How many of you saw that you need to get better with the sprouts with your kids? And your spouse. We need to become the biggest cheerleaders for the people that we live with. And let them be who they are. Let them be who they are. Go ahead, Chad. I want you to show this clip. I learned something from Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a family favorite movie in our house. That and the Star Wars series, the whole Star Wars series and the whole Pirates series. Those are two very favorite series. Hans and I indoctrinated our grandkids. They had never seen any Star Wars thing. We're like, what? So it's like double features several nights in a row. And then my grandson Harvey's like, I want to be Darth Vader. I'm like, I want a Darth Vader birthday. I'm like, this is a totally different generation. Like, wow. Like, I have never known anyone that wanted to be Darth Vader. But anyway, those are fun times, but my point is that it's very easy to have an expectation on our kids, our spouse, and our grandkids to be more mature than they're supposed to be at 4 years old. You know what's so funny? This just now hit me. How many times we get upset with people because we have to tell them something so many times? But how many times do you have to be told? Wow. Jen, did you hear that? Frick. Right? You guys didn't have the baby. You're okay. I called you today. Somebody had told me that you guys went to the hospital. I know. I called your office. You'll hear a message from me. I'm so glad you're okay. You're still pregnant. Praise God. Thank you. I'm so glad to see your faces. Okay. Anyway, you think about, we get upset with people because we have to tell them the same thing over and over and over again so many times. And we get upset. We have an expectation for them that we don't have an expectation on ourselves. We have to be told so many times, right? That how many times do you have to be told to do the Sprouts journal? She's like, I've been here 11 times. 40 times. I've been here 40 times, 90 times. I've been here 90 times, and I still haven't done this. Start and stop. What'd you say? You're still doing it. That's so awesome. So let's have some grace. But I want to show you this clip because it's been a theme of the entire weekend. Watch. Thank you.
You cheated.
Pirate.
That's my most favorite lesson I've ever learned from a movie. You're like, what's the lesson? I'm a pirate. Pirates cheat. What were you expecting? It's expecting a cheetah to be a house pet. What are you expecting out of the people you live and work with? Are you expecting the emerald to be fun all the time? You've been expecting an emerald to be fun all the time. How many of you have been expecting an emerald to not be serious? How many of you have been expecting an emerald to not be organized? How many of you have been expecting an emerald to not be diligent and consistent? How many of you have been expecting sapphires to sit still and be quiet, not laugh loud? What the frick are you doing? You're expecting a pirate not to be a pirate. You're expecting a cheetah to be a house pet. How many of you are expecting a pearl to be bold and loud and passionate? How many of you are expecting a pearl to walk faster? To drive faster? This is great. How many of you have been expecting a pearl to make a quick decision? And how many of you have been expecting the rubies not to be driven? You've been expecting the rubies to go slow. You're expecting the rubies to be soft. Who has been expecting rubies to be not rubies? Pirate. I mean, hello? Like, what do you think? You learned this information for what reason? So you can figure out how to manipulate the person to change? So they can serve you? Jackie's so awesome. It's not why you've learned this information. You learn the information so you can identify who they are and love them right where they're at and celebrate who they are and understand that their strengths cover your weaknesses. That's what the point is. For you to be a big cheerleader for the strengths that you don't have that you see in someone else. And that you have grace. That's the point. So leaving here this weekend, it's very, very important to be comfortable in your own skin and who you are, and also don't expect yourself to be something that you're not. Amen. Don't expect yourself to be something that you're not. Be what you are and be the best at it. Be the best at it. Would you be willing to do me a huge favor for a few minutes? Could I ask you for 10 minutes of your time? Is there someone that's not willing to give us 10 minutes of your time? Can we have 10 minutes of your time? A show of hands. Can I have 10 minutes of your time? Okay. There was a few reluctant ones like, all right. How many of you are glad that you came? We've had some rough times together. We've shed some tears. We went through more boxes of Kleenex on Friday than we ever have in the history of doing Creating a Dynasty. 24 boxes of Kleenex. We have never. Who are you people? You're like, yeah! We cried a lot! We are a bunch of freaks, man. That's all I gotta say. Like, where do you go or like celebrate? Yeah! 24 boxes of Kleenex. Awesome! Amen. Amen. Tears. Yes, it's not better out than in. Anyway, so We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've had some bricks fall on our heads together, including the last one that just fell on our heads. You learn some things about wealth. You learn some things on how to increase your income. You learn some leadership skills. You learn how to build team. And we all became a team. We all came here separate, and now we've all become a team. Would you be willing to let us serve you better? And would you be willing to help give us our path to success by giving us some feedback? We have a form. We'd love for you to take 10 minutes to fill it out. And it's the last thing I'm going to ask you to do as far as filling out a form and writing. How many of you have written more in the last 3 days than you have in a really long time? It's really sad what's happening to our penmanship, because we're so used to typing. Our thumbs have great muscles with our cell phones, but writing is a really healthy thing to do. Debt numbers, thank you so much. How many of you did turn in your debt numbers? How many did not turn in your debt numbers? Well, we have a very inaccurate picture. I forgive you. I release you. And I bless you. If we have the debt number, somebody did ask for them. I don't know where Jen is. I really just can't see that far. We can get those, what we have. It's not a complete picture. All right, so please just fill out. Just start writing. I will shut up. And as we're wrapping this up, all weekend I've been wanting to do this because I think it's really important to give honor. Jeez, where honor is due. Sorry. Really sorry. Let's turn this forms in. Let's pass them into the center. Would be great. And the team will just the feedback forms. Keep your sprouts and the questions. Ladies, I want to ask you if you would want us to do like a woman's thing. I was just going to say that. So I don't know where he's at. He actually has been thinking, planning, and praying about doing a man's thing. Be a warrior weekend thing. So it'd be everything that has to do with a man. And finances and business and the heart of a man. And he'd be bringing in his couple of his mentors, Damien being one of them. The women are like, yay! No, it's just for the guys. There's no women allowed. It's just the guys. And then his current mentor, who's made a massive, massive impact on his life. But you men would need to encourage him for that. We both, yeah, big time. We both need to get out of our comfort zone is the reality. So we both just need to get out of our comfort zone and step up and do this thing. But anyway, but yeah, I am somebody who said I would never do a woman's thing ever. I've turned down hundreds of speaking at women's conferences invitations. I've only spoken at two because I just don't do the woman thing. So, but I think I'm going to do the woman thing. So I'll figure out where and when, and I'll let y'all know. No, I don't do spas. I can't stand spas. Sorry. I'm glad you like spa weekends, but that is... No, I'm a let's roll up our sleeves and get to work kind of girl. Yeah. Yeah. What'd you say? A camping? I would love to do a camping thing. That would be so awesome. Yeah, sorry. I'm the camping girl, not the spa girl. Come to Wyoming. I want to go to the Grand Tetons. The Grand Tetons is on my list. Okay, so we'll work on that. We're going to work on that. That's another thing that's on the list that we're going to do. And maybe we'll organize it to where he's Hans's thing and my thing are going on at the same time. So the men and the women are two different places doing their thing. Okay. Well, you both are here right now and you found childcare. So what? Thank you. You both are here now. What's the problem? You'll figure it out. Different campsites on the side of the lake so we can all meet up at some point. Oh, that's nice, Ralph. That's not a bad idea, actually. Because I know I will be certainly ready after being with a bunch of women for 2 days. No, I'm kidding. No, I've really grown to really love and respect some women that are in this room. I really have. And a lot of you women have really helped me to get healed of my female issues, you know, just a lot of my past of being stabbed in the back by women. And there's just a really amazing group of quality women that are here, especially here this weekend. And that's pretty precious. Yeah. So anyway, I want to give honor. Frick. I was trying to like go around the block and think, I'll be okay. No, I'm still not okay. Oh, wait. They want a weekend with you. The men want a men's weekend with you. Yeah, they want a men's retreat. Let's commit this year to getting it done. Okay, so speaking of men, I want to give honor where honor is due, and I've been wanting to do this all weekend, just looking for the right opportunity to do it, but there's two men, Frank, that are here that, when I look back at my life, and if one of them had not picked up the phone and called to invite me, I just, no doubt in my mind I'd be dead. It's two men that gave me an opportunity to start in business 28 years ago. And I think it's almost 29. It's so freaking crazy. I'm in debt to both of them. For giving me the chance. They both can remember me going to parties with them and their friends and me hiding in a different room, not wanting to talk to anybody. I hated social environments like that. I was so intimidated by these two. I was so intimidated by their families. I was intimidated by one of their wives. I was totally intimidated by their, like even your parents. It's just, felt like such a fish out of water because I came from such a different track, came from the different side of the tracks than what they did. And being around the two of them planted seed in me that there was a different way to live and that they were dreamers. They were the first set of dreamers that I had ever been around. I came from a non-dreaming place. And they really, by their example and the way that they lived and who they invited me around, really changed the way I thought. And it gave me hope that that there were good people out there, that that there were people that were happy out there, that didn't abuse alcohol and drugs, and didn't abuse their families. And I really want you to meet both of them, JP and Mike. Can you guys come up here, please?
What would you like me to say?
Hi.
Hi, everybody. This has been an awesome weekend. Being a Sapphire, connecting with all you people has been fantastic. Seeing old faces, people I used to work with. It's so amazing to be a part of an event where I don't feel the stress of the event.
Exactly.
And those of you that know me for a long time, you know a lot of these stories, but I'm just going to share a little bit about the person I met, was it 29 years ago? Okay. I was working in a place, I just got out of college, and I didn't know how to do anything, so I said, I'll do sales. And I was selling water treatment systems for the house, so I was like the Kirby vacuum guy for water treatment. And it was a revolving door of people coming in. And so every afternoon there were new trainees. And one day this young lady came in and she had this freaking chip on her shoulder. And she comes walking in and she goes, she pretty much told all the guys in there, I'm going to kick all your guys' ass. And I'm like, what a bitch. But she's pretty hot. So anyway, then our manager, Al, says, Danny, you're going to go out with JP on his runs tonight. And I went, oh, God. So we start talking. I was ready to leave the place. She asked me a pointed question. I said, you don't want to work here. And it was really weird because the last part, I gave her my card because she followed her, the father of Christina, down to my hometown, Stockton. And I just gave her my card. I said, well, if you ever become unattached, give me a call. Anyway, so long story short, Mike and I have always wanted to, we are dreamers. My dream's been crushed a bunch of times, and it's hard for me to sometimes to see all the success here and go, I wonder if someday I'll ever do that. But, you know, I'm real content with where I am right now in my life. I'm taking care of my mom. It's awesome. And I'm playing music, and that's my life. But I better do something that Hans teaches, or I won't have a nest egg. But anyway, so Mike and I, we were high school buddies. We played softball together. And Mike is just like, he's a creative idea guy. And I just, we've always wanted to work together. And having Danny, I said, whatever that attitude was that day I met her, I don't know what it is, but it's crazy. And so I kept trying to recruit her. She tells a story all the time where I just kept exposing her and blah, blah, blah. But so anyway, bottom line is, when I met her, she was angry. She really sucked in front of the room. I did the perfect presentation. I mean, I knew all the inflections and everything, and nobody ever bought shit when I presented. But when she got up there and screwed it all up and turned all red and just... Everybody ordered. Everybody signed up. And, you know, when you have a gift, you have a gift. And I used to hold a pillow because she was so angry. And I got to tell you, my life is Leave It to Beaver. I had a great childhood, and I never understood hers. I can't. There's no way I can. But I knew that there was something I could do to try to help, just to be a friend. And I used to hold a pillow and just say, hit it. Just hit it as hard as you can. Just hit it. And to see what she's become, nobody imagined this. And I am just the proudest friend. And it's just, it's mind-boggling. And the fact that we could even still be friends after all the crap that we've gone through. I mean, there's been a lot of these. You heard one of them. I hate it when she kind of tells that story, but you know what? And then this guy right here, man. Hans is just, when she says he didn't have more than a three-word vocabulary, when I met him, he was just like, yeah, cool. Yeah. And he's freaking brilliant. And I got to tell you, he talks about where his strengths and weaknesses are, and he's a strategist. He's so freaking brilliant. But he's hard as hell to work for. Because he was so intense, it was like intimidating. But, you know, I go, how does he know all this stuff? And I'm like, don't get mad at me. But to see him in his gifting, too, has just been amazing. And this is just awesome. And thanks for giving me the time. And I hope to get to know all of you guys. And it's all about fun, baby.
I gotta start here because JP has really influenced my life, too. I was living in my grandmother's extra bedroom when I was going to junior college, and he came over one day and had a business idea that he had bought off of Entrepreneur magazine. And I said, why this one? He said, because it was $36 instead of $19.95. Good enough for me. Let's do it. And so we started a little business, and he was an affluent family. I was middle income. My dad was a fireman. He went off to UCLA and left me holding the bag. I had to try to finish that, and we did. But I said, why did you ask me? And he says, because you seem organized. You're the manager of our softball team. We had a softball team called... That was it. He says, it must have been desperate. And so then later, we got into a company, and we had a really nice office on the water, and I had this image for it that didn't match production, but it was like an executive suite and one office per person. And we did okay, but not really kind of thing. And Danny had seen another office where they jammed desks into the same room for energy and encouragement. And she wanted to do with this other model, and I was a bad guy, and I was stubborn, I was full of ego, and I was all of 25, you know, you were 18 or 19, I don't remember, and there was a little dissension, and we ended up splitting up, you know, for years, and he worked for Danny, and I went off and did this other thing. I watched them from a distance, and I am so impressed, I have to tell you, that after this second event, because I did go to Long Beach a couple years ago in a low time, a season of devastation. I had just been fired from a .com, which I loved, and saw what corporate America, how they can chew you up and spit you out. After you win a national award and everything, I'm just dumbfounded. Get into another company, the owner dies, and then one of my sons gets my wife and I and him all arrested. Medical marijuana grow. It's all dismissed now. I'm safe to be around. But right then, I came to Danny's event in Long Beach, and I confess that to you. I go, this is embarrassing, but I want you to know. Because she's so good at humbling herself and showing her vulnerability and her weakness and where she came from. And we're witnesses to that. It's true. We were really hard to get along with, but you know what? It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to see the power of Jesus Christ in our lives, restoration, forgiveness. And so I felt compelled after that last thing. I go, I can't let this event end. I crawled up here and I asked you on one knee, if you would allow me, I would like to apologize to you. Because one of my beliefs is that if you offend someone privately, you apologize privately. But if you offend them publicly, you better apologize publicly. And I don't remember, but I am sure I was so angry and so hurt that I offended you behind your back multiple times in the year or two following our breakup, and I am sorry for it. And if you will hear me, I mean this. I really am impressed with your family. And I want to recognize Hans because strong women, I have a very strong wife. It is not easy. It is not easy to hold your family together and to humble yourself, throw your life down to keep the family together. This man is one of my heroes because you've done it, brother. And, you know, how many years you've been married?
26.
I've been married 28, and it is, you think after 10, 20, it gets easy? Just a few years ago, we had a major meltdown. I recognize the success here, and their kids are beautiful. I'm blessed to have my son Joey raise your hand, and JP's son Austin raise your hand. To see these guys embrace personal development. Okay, now here's the biggest thing. There's a lot of motivational speakers out there. The power within. Just decide. If you can see it, you can achieve it. They don't recognize that if your father wills it, she recognizes that. I have to honor that. You know what? That's one of the things I wrote on the back of my name tag as things would pop up. Takeaways. Would you read the last one? She taught me this.
It's okay to cry on stage.
Okay. But it is, God is the true source of our success.
He is.
And people do change.
Yes.
She's a living example,
yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, I love you. I'm sorry. I would like you to keep me accountable. if I ever say anything to you again, you can call me on it, okay? And I hope to be much closer friends. I honor the men. It's
yes.
So hard on men nowadays. We're
yes.
they treat us all like Homer Simpson or Al Bundy of the Married with Children. That's it. We
yes.
To be strong, you have to be weak. So anyway, thank you very much for this time.
Okay. Thank you. So Mike, on that note. I was young and foolish, and I hurt you, and I'm so very sorry for dishonoring you and dishonoring the relationship that we had, and I did not hold it as a priority. I didn't hold our friendship as a priority. I held my selfishness and greed and drive, and it was wrong. I should have never, ever, ever did what I did. Will you please forgive me?
I absolutely have, and I love you.
Thank you.
Anything more of it.
And I've already asked you to forgive me for that. You were awesome. Thank you for encouraging me for the last 29 years.
Still the best.
I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you.
Family hug.
Thank you so much. Help me say thank you to our volunteers as they come and they take a bow. You've already met them, but I want them to take a bow for the hard work and effort that they've done. Volunteers, run up. Come on, move. Move it. Get in there. Okay, all I know is, once again, the most gorgeous, best-looking volunteers you will ever find anywhere of all ages, shapes, sizes, colors, races, religions, economical backgrounds. Every one of them with a powerful story. You guys, thank you so much. Take your bow, man, because you served beautifully and well. Thank you. You can go back. And then if our staff can come up.
Let's welcome them up. Thank you. This is the DannyJohnson.com Destiny Global team. You're in it. We got one. You're in it. Yeah, pull the curtains. Anyway, this has been an awesome weekend. You guys obviously have done phenomenal, and so very blessed to work with all of you. I mean, I know Dynasty can be more challenging in lots of different ways, and you guys did a great job recruiting a great team of volunteers and hitting it hard to do whatever it was that you hit hard to do. So we pulled it off together as a team, and we're very, very proud of you. And I know they are very thankful for everything that you did this weekend. Yep. So take your bow, team. You deserve it. Yes. Awesome job. And final announcement, baptisms will be taking place 30 minutes after we break for those of you who are going to be a part of that. And I am going, who's going to be in Ohio? Okay, awesome. So I do challenge you. I mean, you've been challenged all weekend that iron sharpens iron. Your axe gets dull. As your life continues to move and shape and change, this is a great place to keep you on track through those changes. And we would love to be a part of your journey as much as you'd be willing to let us be a part of it. All those testimonials that we had here on the stage, and we went Facebook Live with that man. We actually watched half of the video until 1:30 in the morning on Zidai laying in bed just going, dang, man. Oh, his video. Yes. His video is the one that we watched. That's true. It was his. But we are just so blessed to be able to work with you. So very, very blessed to do life with you and to have our families intermingled with yours. It's awesome. You know, I think it's a rare thing to have a people like this that come together and then go and scatter and affect our communities and businesses and churches and families. You know, like, you've been equipped this weekend to go really make a difference and to change one life at a time. But Hans is going to give some final words, and we're calling it a night. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. It was amazing.
Thank you for having me.
I like it when you're here.
You do?
Yeah, a lot. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Why are you apologizing?
I don't know.
Sorry. So I always got to start with you guys are awesome people, and this was a really special, neat weekend. I want to thank you for having me here, and Sean and I were out, and we were talking to somebody, and one of the things that came up was this idea that we kind of live in this world where in the natural we do something and we want to see an immediate result, but there's a timeline that is unknown of the difference between our sowing and our reaping. And so what happened here this weekend was a lot of stirring of the soil and a lot of seeds being planted into the soul, into the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so when the Father sets something, when he does a thing, it's done. And so when you guys leave here, you need to just know that. And if it's not from him, we don't want any part of it. So just have your eyes on him, right? And know that there's a timeline that happens. But when you step out in faith, knowing and practicing what you learned here and doing it, then you're actually, you're sowing. And the faith is knowing that that timeline, that it is going to come back, that there is going to be a harvest. And you may not see it immediately, but that's where you get to start to change. Remember last night we talked about bending reality? This is where you get to actually change your reality, because you were created in the image of the Creator, and part of that is that we get to create it. Okay? So be careful what voice you listen to. Not all voices are created equal. Okay. And just know that there's a process here. Continue to keep yourself in the environment of good soil. If you remove yourself from that environment, it's a different thing. You stay in that environment, it's just a matter of time. Okay? So you're in it. You're already in it. You know, and our past is what it is, but we're a new creation every day. Our past cannot define us. He's the only one that can tell us who we are. And so you guys got, man, with this weekend, you went through like a little mini boot camp of just, it was pretty hardcore, you know. So now you just got to take that and just spread it and be the light in the world. You know, in your business, and take dominion. Okay? Take dominion over your territory. Right? Don't wait. Just do. Okay? Don't spend too much time thinking. Just do. And practically speaking, leaving, I don't know how many of you journal or whatever, I know you took a lot of notes. But you should find the one or two things that you can start doing, the quickest, easiest things that you could be doing. Maybe it's smiling all the time. Maybe that's that one little thing is going to start to change. Forming people, whatever it is, whatever that skill set that you got, the basics that you got to master. Make sense? So it was an amazing weekend, and you guys are awesome. Incredible people. I so appreciate your heart and just this. There really isn't another community like this in the world. And the work that you do and the heart and the way that you guys give is just unbelievable. So thank you for the privilege of being able to spend a little bit of time with you. Thank you.
Bye.